Our name is the RR Podcast. 5 years ago, we made it our mission to bring you the latest toku news in the craziest way possible. But after a plague of boring tokusatsu struck, it was up to us to save our podcast. To do this, we had to do something else. We had to discuss something else. Welcome to RS Season 6, Episode 14.
He ain't nothing but a gold driver. Wait for it. Damn it. Kevin's favorite song from the past. Classic. Now it won't stop. Stop playing. Okay. There we go.
Was it worth it?
Not really, actually. Especially since, like, I double-pressed, and I thought it wasn't playing, and it started. Classic us.
As we get started this week, I need to apologize to Dawson for missing out on his Rocketman reference last week.
Yes!
See, somebody, I would have gotten it hard, and I would have started singing, "He's got the whole world in his hands."
See, it would have been perfect. Imagine how magical it would have been.
I know, I'm sorry.
My gosh. That Rocket Man reference I made last week to the movie Rocket Man.
What was the
Was it me?
Was it me?
That movie was hilarious. I love that movie.
In other news, a tweet just came into my timeline of Blaine and Teabag. This is witchery. This happened.
I'm listening to the podcast and Dawson makes the reference and I'm like, I want to watch that movie.
I haven't seen that movie in years.
I know. I want to go see it.
I want to eat space food paste and sit around a spaceship painting stuff and food. And
with the food paste.
But there's anchovy. Classic. Surprised they didn't make more of those references in any Forza reviews. Damn. Past me.
No.
Don't even know your culture.
I blame everything on past Dawson. He was a douchebag.
Oh, God. Damn it, Cordy.
All right, get a point.
One up. I didn't even hear what she said. I just heard.
The present Dawson's a douchebag.
There's a reason that Matt called me Douche and Rider, and it stuck for a really long time. Matt came in for one episode and tarnished my good name for over a year. Don't forget to buy the drinks of energy from gaming. Dear God, stop. Okay, right. Just talk
to be fair, Dawson, for him to tarnish your good name, you have to have had a good name in the first place.
It's true. I have a terrible name. I'd have liked to be called it. All right, one up. For real. Okay.
I totally one-upped the entire Transformers fandom this week.
Boom.
That was a blast.
Booyakasha.
Chucky jammed.
Because I went to GameStop on Saturday to pre-order that Retro 3 pack, which apparently wasn't a big deal whatsoever because it's still on GameStop.com.
Right?
But anyway.
Everyone was like, fuck yeah, I got it. I'm like, I think everybody did.
Yeah, pretty much. There was like 47 or something at my store. And then Target's right next door, so I went to Target and I saw them because they just finished their reset. And I'm like, were these found yet? And I was like, no. I'm like, well, let's make a video. Capitalize
right in the store,
on
sits
your
down, pulls out
stores.
Portable camera.
Shugi like made the front page of a website.
Yeah, it did. It was nuts. Cause like it was some of my crappy iPhone pictures. Like I had a picture of what I found in the store, and then the next day I was over at my mom's and I opened them all and stuff. And so I was just taking a couple crappy pictures. And it's like on the front page of all the Transformers sites. I'm like, this is dumb.
Like local hero Shukun Shinobi finds Transformers. Just has a picture of you smiling.
I felt like a proud parent. I was famous by association.
There you go. So now I'm quasi-famous in the Transformers community. I'm everywhere. Bitch, I'm everywhere.
Why was it parody?
Arr.
There we go.
Bitch, I'm everywhere.
Did you say vagina everywhere? Because that
sounds. That's what I thought.
I said, "Bitch, I be everywhere," but
that's not what it sounded like.
That's like vagina everywhere.
Vagina everywhere is
sounds like Dawson's nightmare.
Just as okay, I suppose. There's got to be something else. I don't think there is, honestly.
Everything else pales in comparison.
There was
everything else pales in comparison to buying 4 Transformers.
Yes. There was Pokemon pre-releases for the next set this weekend, and those are pretty fun. I actually got really good pulls. I bought some promo sets the other day, and I got really crappy pulls. So it leveled out, I suppose, but those are always fun. But really, that's it. Like, taking the Transformers community by storm and playing Pokemon cards is about all that's happened to me the past week.
I'm not sure how that differs from your everyday life, but
it doesn't.
Okay, I was checking. I was confused.
Except I got to one up the Transformers community. That was
well, yes, really. That doesn't usually happen, but no. The rest of it is just generally your life.
You wound up on TFW proper instead of the TFW repaint, Tokunation.
I like how the one time, like, I'm the first person to find something, it's with Transformers.
And not Toku.
I'm like, it's not Power Rangers or anything, it's Transformers. I'm like, okay, I'll roll with it. I'll see how I can make this.
There's benefit. A reason they say transform and roll out, Brian.
Exactly.
Classic. See, because the word roll is in it.
Love rolls.
Just they want you to take the rolls.
I will take all the rolls. Buffets hate me. You won't believe why buffets hate this man.
I feel like you should have a shirt like that. That would be pretty epic.
What, does this buffets hate me?
Yes.
It'd be accurate.
That would be an amazing shirt to just have anywhere.
Like, oh, buffet, $20. I'm like, bitch, I will eat $100 worth of food right here, right now.
Cat, bring the big purse. We're taking this home.
Done that a couple times, too. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm playing with this little mini-con. I bought one of the little Robots in Disguise mini-cons because they're only $5.
So how's that going for you?
Maybe he's a little wolf and he's awesome. I love him. He's been following me around everywhere. Like, not literally, he's just been in my pocket.
My god, but he's sentient? I knew Skynet was happening when Windows 10 came out.
Robotic Mountain Ash.
Oh, Jesus.
Ryan, did you get your shiny Rayquazas?
Yes, I did. I actually soft reset until I got one I really liked earlier today, so that was fun.
You sound like a fag when you say that.
I soft reset until I got the one I liked. It was great. I was a more Valley girl, but...
Thanks, Kimberly.
Sorry, homos everywhere. I disgraced you.
No. You have disgraced everyone. You've disgraced the human race, Brian.
I'm sure I've done that multiple times by now.
You went full Dawson and disgraced the human race.
Got it.
That like had like a really nice like flow to it. That should be a shirt.
Like a period?
A shirt? A period shirt? Oh, I get it. I had to go rewind it a little bit. To flow. She works for Wolfram and Hart, though, so...
She works for Progressive.
No, she works for Wolfram and Hart. Progressive is clearly a division of Wolfram and Hart. No, I've seen Angel. I know
me too. I know that shit, too.
I know what it's like to touch my own penis.
I stopped listening for, like, 20 seconds. I don't even know what's going on anymore.
I love when I do that. Oh, it's the funniest shit ever, because you'll just come in and you'll hear, Blue Rhino Penis. I'm like, what the hell happened when I tuned out for those 10 seconds? Like, because it'll be completely normal when you tune out, and then you like, leave us alone for a second, and we're on Rhino Penis.
The teacher goes away, and all of a sudden, it's just...
That's what happened with Stress Left. Ultimate Spider Monkey was born.
All of a sudden, Spider Monkey is everywhere.
Jeez. We all know Dawson's like the most racist fucker in the world.
That still hasn't left. 5 years. 5 years because of one substitute teacher night.
Like, any day now, it's going to become Dawson's the Grand Wizard of the KKK. Like...
Grand Wizard.
Like how that's what got George, was Grand Wizard. More like Grand Wizard.
Like, Haruto, like... Oh, fuck. I ain't even white.
I was thinking Dumbledore.
I was thinking a wizard mom. He's like,
Dumbledore!
Got him on! You stuff.
Are dead!
Dumbledore?
Yeah, he was Dumbledore. Spinster's voice.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Rob was doing his Spinster voice.
Oh man, my pants. That was all awkward.
Right. Gotham, you can go.
Okay, well, I was waiting for Kevin to finish his pants monologue, but... okay, well, mine is pretty boring. It's almost identical to last week. Yes, well, exactly, that's the bit. The only thing that's sort of remotely interesting happened, which wasn't really interesting, which is really annoying, is... Yes, well, that. But I got my Oki box that had the Tag Crest set in it, and somebody screwed in the battery screw, something fierce, and I can't get it out. It's annoying as fuck. I ruined the tread on it, so I can't get into it. So it pretty much makes sense for me. But
no lights for you.
I don't know why that happened. Like, I have a really old like Ninja Storm morpher that happened to a while ago, but I don't know why it makes more sense to me that it happened because it's like over 10 years old. But this is like brand new, and I just cannot get it out of there. So I have no idea what I'm going to do. Are you unscrewing it right now just to spite me? What are you?
No, you said can't get it out.
Oh, okay. There we go. Giggity. Okay.
I have that trouble sometimes too.
That's really the like most interesting thing that's happened. Other than that, everything else is identical. It's just been Skylanders and vampires.
Yay, Oki got me the Megastones. So how are the vampires going? Let's talk vampires for a minute.
Okay. I just told George, like, I just started season 4.
I didn't ask you what you told George. I'm asking what's going on.
I was just restating it for the audience who don't know the mythology of the pre-show. We don't release the pre-show to the public. It's too dangerous. But
it really
is. I just started season 4. I think 2 or 3. The last thing I saw was when Damon was visiting Alaric's grave, and you know, Elena was.
Wasn't that just sad?
It was. I heard he comes back though. Does he come back? Tell me he comes back.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's starting season 4.
Wait, I guess he was there, but I mean, like, as a live person, or is he just a ghost forever?
No, you haven't met ghost Crazy Pants, have you?
Who is that? No, I guess not.
Okay.
Is her name actually Crazy Pants?
No, they just refer to her as Crazy Pants.
Okay, yeah, I don't think I've met her yet.
Real name is Amara. Amara.
Like the gem of Amara? Holy crap, that ties with Buffy's ring that's like...
Holy shit, I never...
Damn! That's the thing that lets you walk in the sunlight in Buffy. Boom. It's all connected.
No, he hasn't.
Everything is Buffy. Yes, it's from Buffy. Spike had it.
So,
had it,
isn't Catherine just like the greatest thing ever?
Catherine is great. I like her a lot more than Elena.
That's because she has more personality than Elena.
Well, yeah. Like, Elena has grown on me, but she's still kind of... like, I was also telling George, I was saying that I was really happy when she became a vampire because her being human was causing so many problems for everyone.
Right.
Everyone wants her blood all the time. And then her first episode, she just starts vomiting blood all over walls and, like, causing a disturbance. I'm like, damn it, Elena, can you just do one thing right? Like, she almost vomited all over Stefan when they were kissing. That was pretty funny.
She just almost went full South Park.
Not to take that personally, but
I'm
not even Anthony Head. So
is it Vampire Caroline so much better than Human Caroline?
Yes, I was really glad that like for such a long time she was always like somebody's bitch. Like she was like working for Damon, yeah. Or when she was a vampire, she worked for Catherine for like 2 minutes, and I was super glad when she broke out of that. I feel bad for comparing her to Cordelia, though, because she's, like, so much better than Cordelia.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the originals? Because I know you've gotten to them by now.
Yeah. I like them quite a bit. Damn it, other Cordy. how's my kind of thought? Oh, yeah, I was going to say that when season 2 happened and they started introducing werewolves, I was kind of annoyed because I hate when a vampire werewolf show has to introduce one or the other. But I actually really liked the hybrid stuff because it was pretty unique. Like, I've never seen anything else really do that.
Yeah. So,
that was cool. And the whole, like, backstory on the originals was also pretty neat. And when they went into all that. And Klaus is pretty cool. And I actually honestly feel kind of bad for him because...
Right?
He's just kind of evil because, like, everyone tried to shun him.
Like, they make him such a, like, a likable, like, you feel bad for him character. And then he just tries to kill everyone.
It's funny, I'm thinking about, in particular, starting watching this now, that with a character like Michi, I'm like, that guy deserves to die, he's terrible. And then, like, you got people like Klaus and Damon and Spike who do all these terrible things. I'm like, it's fine. Don't even worry about it. They're good guys.
Right.
So it's like, but Michi has to die. He didn't even really kill one person, but these people have probably killed hundreds between them. It's fine.
I mean, she's just tried to kill people. Klaus is over here just murdering people like it's nothing.
They're
like,
cool.
Oh, it's nothing. It's fine. We'll just kill lots of people.
I like how they killed Mason Lockwood, who is basically a good dude and, like, no one really cares. Like, it's like, oh, whatever. Like, he really wasn't evil or anything. He was just a pretty good dude. And they murdered him, and Elaine is like, oh, it's cool. Jeremy's like, what a douche. I'm like, Jesus, no one cares that this guy died. Even Tyler's like, oh, fuck that guy.
They kill, like, a lot of people. Just like they kill Jenna, and they kill Tyler's mom. And you saw that, right?
No. I knew about it, though. Oh. But yeah,
she becomes Lydia's mom then.
Yeah, she reincarnated as Lydia's mom.
Like they just kill anybody. They just get bored. Like, you know what? Someone has to die. Okay.
Well, but usually, like, they're fighting some sort of super evil enemy, or like Klaus is like totally justifiable. But Mason Lockwood was just a good dude. Like, they got manipulated by Catherine. I'm like, and nobody cared. Like, I didn't really love the guy, but it's like, come on, you're supposed to be the good guys. Especially like Elena, who's supposed to be like the most human. She like didn't even care. Like, whatever. I kind of like,
and then Matt's just there.
Oh yeah, he's like,
Matt's just there being human. Like,
there's so many characters I thought were going to be around forever, like him and Tyler too. I thought Tyler was just going to be like this douchey foil for Jeremy at the beginning,
right?
And then he would never leave. I don't like him at all. Why has he not left yet? He's just such a douche. Like, you're supposed to leave in season one. I'm still waiting. Where's the door? I don't understand.
Well, get used to it for a while.
So, yeah, I know. I'm already used to it.
Become buddy cops and leave together.
Who does?
Matt and Tyler.
Oh, see, perfect. Just say, hey, look, we're useless. Let's leave.
But, like, I mean, he hasn't really been useless. I think the sole purpose of Matt was to make Elena a vampire. I think that's the only thing Matt's done that was useful.
Mm-hmm.
In, like, four seasons.
You leave Matt alone.
Matt doesn't do anything. Matt's just there. Like, working at a bar because he can't do anything better with himself.
I was going to say something. I do kind of like that they had some consequences for the rings because it got totally almost comedic. Like, Damon would just, like, kill Alaric whenever he, like, made a quip at him. Like, okay. Little Damon, you're such a jerk. Kills Alaric. Like, damn it. You can't just keep killing the dude.
That was pretty funny. Like,
Alaric died like 5 times an episode.
He's like fucking Kenny in South Park.
Like, it's like, that's a cool idea for a ring, but it becomes comedic. No, you kill him every episode.
Well, Alaric, when they had the ring, Damon would just keep killing him.
Like, he killed him when he annoyed him that one time. That's a true story. Like he said like, the wrong thing to him when Damon was on his way into a building, so he snapped his neck.
Like, he's like, oh, you're fucking pissing me off, snaps neck. Damon, it's fine. He's wearing the ring. He'll be back in a couple hours. Just
Elena, you wouldn't kiss me, so I'm going to kill your brother really quick. I knew he was wearing the ring. Pff, totally. I didn't know it.
He just needs a nap. He'll be fine. Oh, that shit was funny.
So, yeah, that's been fun. We should probably move on, though, so we don't make the whole show about it. I'm going to do a post-show analysis with George on how Stefan's basically Angel. Even though they keep calling him Ripper and they're trying to make him Giles. It doesn't even work.
How do you like Ripper Stefan? Wasn't that fun?
He's not as cool as Angelus. He's just kind of like a junkie. I like Angelus better than Ripper Stefan, but I like Stefan better than Angel.
Yeah.
Like Ripper Stefan is really fun because he gets to do things and be an asshole.
Stefan is way more interesting outside of Elena than inside Elena. Damn it. Well, because I'll talk about that more later afterwards, but I just think he's more interesting outside of it. I was kind of disappointed they didn't do more with him and Klaus and Rebecca after they went ahead and given him a backstory, and then they didn't really touch it. I thought that was going to be – I thought they were going to do more.
I'd love anything that involves touching Rebecca.
There you go. All right. Speaking of touching Rebecca, you should do your one-ups.
Okay.
Maybe you just bet your one-ups on the Vampire Diaries. Can I spend a ninja on it? Is that option?
So we just finished watching Firefly. That was fun. And so we're watching the movie. You're not like right now watching the movie, but we're watching the movie. And so that's the thing. We're almost done that. I just bought season 2 of Once Upon a Time. I was gonna buy season 1. We're at Best Buy, and I got like stuff was on sale. I was like, oh cool, see, like it's really cheap. And I was going to buy season 1, but the boxes were all messed up. And I went against my better judgment and my OCD and bought season 2 because I wanted to buy something that was Once Upon a Time. Like, no, I don't like buying things out of order, but I was like, well, maybe by the time I come back, they'll have a better box and they won't be messed up. But I also got a bunch of the DC animated movies that I'm behind on. I got, Justice League War, Justice League, Throne of Atlantis, Batman vs. Robin, and Son of Batman.
I bought that new one. I still have to watch it, the Gods and Monsters one.
I still have a few more to get, and then I can, sit there and just kind of marathon them all and catch up. Let's see. I got my Oki box yesterday that had Watermelon Lock Seed, the Zangetsu and Baron AC set, the Formula Tires, and the Sun Vulcan figure arts. My almost 7-month-old really likes the Watermelon Lockseed a lot.
So she's 6 months.
Well, she'll be 7 months by the time this podcast goes up.
Kevin, I'll punch you in the face if you call her 13 months old after she turns one. After that, she's one.
Number one, I'm going to do it just to piss you off. And I'm not concerned in the slightest about you punching me in the face, because that would require you leaving your house.
I will hire someone. I will hire Liam Neeson
to come fight me and punch me in the face.
If that doesn't work, I'll just hire a guy named Liam. Liam? Liam. I couldn't pay for the M. There was one extra, arch to the letter, but Liam's fine.
But she really likes that lock.
I'll just hire Liam from Teen Wolf, and he'll punch you. He'll have his girlfriend punch you after he scares her.
All I have to do is push the little button, and it opens and goes, Watermelon, and then she just smiles real big. On the table, I think. And all I have to do is, turn on the Chozetsu changer and spin it and to where it makes the noise and is like, Chozetsu Ninja! And she just starts, freaking out and getting all excited. I'm like, I don't understand why it's so happy.
And then she wonders what the next noise is, and that's it.
That's it. That's the only thing it does.
It can spin the other way.
And then I got a box today from HLJ with Dino Maru. I found Wrench and Puzzler villain figures at my Walmart. It was the only two they had. I was kind of upset. I was upset that that's all I had. I wanted more, but I went ahead and grabbed them. I was at my Toys R Us because we had my nephew in, because he's still in town. And the rest of his family went back to fucking Virginia, but he stayed. So we were like, well, you're getting ready to go back. Let's go buy you a toy. And we ended up getting him a Jurassic Park dinosaur. So we're walking around Toys R Us, and I found plushies of Baby Mario and Baby Luigi. And I was like, oh, cool, I need this. So I made him walk around the store holding them, because that's what you bring kids around the stores for, to be cheap slave labor. And we go looking at the Pokemon stuff, and I see plushies of Mega Garchomp and Mega Lucario. I was like, oh, cool, a Mega Lucario, I was going to buy it. I take it to the little scanner, and I beeped it, and it says $25, and I'm like, this motherfucker's going right back on the shelf for $25. there's no reason he should be $25. He's barely bigger than my baby Mario and Luigi, and they were only 10. I was like, fuck that shit. So he went right back to the shelf, which I did not in the least bit feel bad for. A little bit bad because it's Lucario. But so I got that, and I got my CS Toys box, which has a bunch of Sentai trains. And that decision went something like this. I was working on the list, and I said, I'm going to put all the numbers in that are on the trains. How am I going to find out what the numbers are on these trains? I know. I could buy them. And then I went to CS Toys, and I was like, oh, look, they have trains. Then they're on sale. Add to cart, and I got 10 trains. I wish I were making that up, but that's completely true.
You're a true warrior, Kevin.
I just have a really bad OCD. It's the exact reason that I'm buying ghost things, because I'm getting a Newton icon in that set, and they're all numbered. And this one says 03. And then I have to look at it and go, or 02, whatever one Newton is. I forgot the number now. I think it's, no, 4. Newton's 4. I have to look at it and I'm going to go, fuck. And I have to buy everything else because I got it's all numbered.
You and your numbers.
It's a problem I have, okay? It's just, I need rehab for this, but it's not working. Kaylee starts school tomorrow, and we decided to get her stuff together at midnight the night before because that's the thing. Like, you know. Well, you know, last minute's what I do. So this was fun. So I said, okay, hey, we got this pre-order at GameStop for these amiibos.
Oh, damn it.
And I said, I need these, but I have to work. So I turned to wife, and I said, wife, I need you to go to GameStop.
Wife, I'm GameStop, off my camera now. Though, okay?
I'm like, wife, go to GameStop. So I sent her to GameStop with my card, which, I mean, that sounds like a bad idea already. But I said, I need you. I gave her a picture. I said, get these amiibo for me. And so she does. She texts me. I'm at the store. She's like, there's like me and 4 nerds here. I'm like, okay. And she's like, yeah, they're all waiting outside. I'm sitting in my truck in the air conditioning.
It's 15 minutes.
I was like, well, that sounds about right. I said, are they staring at you? She's like, I guess I'm the only girl here. I was like, you're probably going to give somebody a heart attack. They're not going to know what to do. I need you to, you know, not stay calm. Don't get too close to them. You don't know how they're going to react. But so she gets me the stuff, and then she pre-ordered a bunch of other games because I didn't have them pre-ordered yet. I wanted to make sure that I would get a phone call that says, your game is out, come buy it. Because that's really the only reason I pre-order stuff at GameStop anymore, is just to get that phone call.
And get phone calls anymore.
I get them most of the time. Like, I don't always get them. I get them sometimes. But, like, she pre-ordered Lego Avengers and the Star Fox game, Zelda. I don't even know anymore. A couple other things. Just because I wanted to get make sure I had them pre-ordered so I wouldn't forget about them. And I was like, why don't you buy yourself something while you're there? Since you went for, you know, you do this for me, buy yourself something. Yeah, that was a mistake. And she starts finding half the fucking store, and is like,
I found 6 games, motherfucker.
And is like, how much can I spend? I'm like, I'm trying to fix a register. It's like a fucking register's broken. I got customers getting angry. She's texting me, how much of your money can I spend? I don't know. Use your discretion.
Don't ever say that. What did you do?
No, she only ended up buying 2 games. Spent $40. So
I wanted to spend 100.
Yeah, she wanted to spend 100, only spent 40. But so that was fine. But she got like Tekken and I don't know, Need for Speed because she likes to race and she likes to hit things. She's very violent. So but yeah, I don't think I got anything else. I've gotten like box after box after box at my house lately.
Kevin is living like my life about 2 weeks ago, where I just kept getting boxes over and
like,
over
like,
again.
One minute I got Teo, and then right behind it I got like all the Chozetsu stuff. So I have these giant boxes, and then we kept just missing them, so it kept inviting, being like, I need you to go to the post office to get another box for me. Thank you. And like, I got my Ghost Ager like encyclopedia book that I got because I ordered it with Go Rotor, but they didn't have Go Rotor again. And like, I just kept getting box after box after box. And
I walked up to 2 of them today.
Yeah, the HLJ and CS Toys boxes, I almost missed them, but she got home right as I got filling out the slip. So pray for timing. But yeah, so that's what's been happening in my life. That and a lot of Pokemon, because that's literally what I do. We just finished watching all the Harry Potter movies with Kaylee. I think she has an unhealthy obsession with Draco Malfoy. I know this because she will look at the screen, put her hands up to her face, and go, Malfoy. And so I'm a little bit concerned. But that's and then she doesn't understand that it's not real. Like, I mean, most things she watches, she wants to. If she wants a cartoon, she's like, I want to go there. Kaylee, you can't go there. It's not real. And then she still thinks that my wand from Universal Studios that my sister got me, like, there's a way to make it work. It's like, how do you make this work, Kaylee? It doesn't. It's not a real wand. It's just a stick. It's just a stick. You can't do magic with it. It doesn't work like that, baby. It's not real. She got upset. I'm like, I'm sorry, Kaylee. It's
the only magical stick in this house is my penis.
Right? No. Ryan's got the right idea. You already do mark me. That's something different. No, stop with the marker. Stop trying to random me with the marker. But yes, so I think that's it for. Damn it! My one offs. Oh, I don't remember I mentioned. I got a fourth Doctor pop, and I got pops of Hermione Granger, Ron Weasley, and Albus Dumbledore. Because Dumbledore. We have a pop fetish at my house also.
Dumbledore?
And a Lego obsession, apparently, because we keep doing that stupid thing from the movie with Dumbledore. But. Let's let George talk for a while. Now that we've gone on for like a half an hour about the Vampire Diaries, and then
hi,
I haven't shut up.
I've never met you.
Hi, it's nice to meet you.
He said, "Hi, it's nice to meet you." Kind of like that.
So my one-ups are really, really simple. I finished Heroes.
Just like awesome.
I finished really, Heroes, really, and that was really, really good. And I watched like the prequel to the new show that's on the app, and that's really good. And I went to go see Edison's Grave, and I went to a museum all about Edison, and I think I'm a Kamen Rider now.
That's fun.
And like, bitch was from New Jersey, like, so.
Right?
That's pretty cool. I had
New Jersey has a few famous people, like Edison, Kevin Smith, and the Jersey Shore guys.
Like every person who makes music ever.
Yeah.
Bruce Springsteen, Bon Jovi, My Chemical Romance.
Okay, well, I didn't know My Chemical Romance is from New Jersey.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I didn't know that. That's the thing that happened just now. I learned something.
They're from, like, my part of Jersey.
Ah. I don't know what that is, but...
There's, like, North Jersey and South Jersey. South Jersey's, like, the shore and stuff, and, like, what everybody thinks Jersey is.
All the Guidos?
All the Guidos and shit, and, like, people who talk like this. You know, like, Raven when she did the accent. Like, that. That's all South Jersey, and North Jersey's, like, nothing but woods. And rednecks and gang fights.
I like Bing Bong.
And my other big thing is that I've been reading Gotham Academy, which is like the new DC comic. And it's really good. It's like Batman meets Scooby-Doo. And it's the best thing ever. Like, it's like the best DC comic I've ever read. It's so freaking good.
Yay!
Yeah, that's about it.
I forgot to mention, we went and saw Ant-Man finally, and that movie was just amazing.
So like, good.
I loved it so much. Like, I remember watching it, and I'm like, I need all this in my life more. Like, Paul Rudd is just amazing. I didn't really, like, I knew the movie was gonna be good, but I was like, holy shit, this is like an amazing movie.
Such a good movie, I loved it.
Like, Luis was just the best supporting character in all of the Marvel movies.
He needs to be in everything.
Are we talking about Ant-Man?
Yeah.
What segment is Ant-Man in?
Before Kevin just saw it recently.
Wait, are you still on your 1-ups?
No, we moved to George, and then Kevin took over again.
Okay.
But then, because I need attention, I was like, wait, let me talk again. I need to talk more. I just wanted to talk about Ant-Man, really, because I like it. It was so good. I love Paul Rudd. A lot.
George is going to kick off our new segment because he has notes.
Our new segment? We have a new segment?
Notes?
Yeah, we do have notes. I do have notes.
What Toku stuff happened this week?
Okay, Toku stuff.
Penis?
There wasn't a lot of Toku stuff.
I thought you had Toku notes. Stuff. God damn it.
Looks at a blank piece of paper.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Like,
oh, the new Doctor Who trailer came out. That's Toku.
Wait, I missed that. Oh, fuck.
Oh man, I should have thrown from Ant-Man to news about Toku.
The movie descriptions, the character movie descriptions.
Oh, that was shit. Yeah.
Saved it. Dawson saved it.
Finally, the first time in my life I've ever saved anything.
I always forget that like Power Rangers is Toku, and my brain go there.
So yeah, the descriptions. And they're tarnishing the sacred original characters that were the best pieces of less than stellar cardboard.
Oh my god.
Wait, someone says they're tarnishing them?
Probably.
Who's Judge Dredd? Sylvester Stallone.
Okay, Jason is gonna be like an ex.
Jason Todd?
I wish. Wrong guy in red. Jason's gonna be a former quarterback. He gets in a bad car accident and like he busts his knee.
Bitch, you're 17.
Think about it.
Your silly little knee will have time to get better. Stop crying.
Right?
Yep. Why is there blue and red?
Because Deadpool can be blue. I don't know.
Deadpool can be a lot of colors.
Yep.
Deadpool can be anything. That's what happened this week. A Deadpool trailer came out and it was like the best thing ever.
That is for ramble time!
I want Stiff.
Okay.
And Kimberly...
is a whore.
Former popular girl. And she leaves school for 6 months and probably watches a lot of Netflix.
I'm pretty sure you can't do that. Like,
yeah.
You can't just not go to school for 6 months.
It's always there all the time.
And she comes back and she has a rebel without a cause, edgy attitude. And that made people go nuts.
She's got to be a preppy.
Because she goes around going, yeah.
And she has a deep secret that makes her feel profoundly vulnerable.
She had an abortion. That's a secret.
That actually that's going to be the big secret. That's probably accurate.
My brain automatically went to rape, so I'm not that far away.
Could be both. Hey, who doesn't love rape?
Like, given the tone of these character descriptions.
Look, 9 out of 10 people love gang rape.
Like, it's so
I just
much...
came back and heard gang rape.
It's just so much angst. I'm like,
no,
God.
Which one?
All of them.
Gang rape.
Oh, I don't think it's that angsty. Besides Kimberly.
Yeah.
Is it Drew?
Yeah, that's a...
Okay, Trini. She's mysterious and extremely bright.
It's like iZombie, but with Trini.
Her parents constantly move for work, making her the perpetual new girl. She's
That's
a lunar.
Setting up her to leave for Aisha.
She's observant, and she wants to find some friends. And she'll never admit it.
Good luck. Being so unlikable.
Severus.
Sorry.
Okay, Billy is 17, slight and awkward. Billy is challenged in his abilities to communicate and interact socially. Yeah.
Billy is Sheldon.
Pretty much. That's exactly how I read it.
Yeah, that's what I read too. I'm
whip smart and sweet, but always odds. Yeah, definitely Sheldon. Sometimes in a fun way, sometimes not. Billy is a kid with no filter. Showing his emotions, understanding, sarcasm.
No, I always have no filter, okay? Not sometimes.
And dealing with his obsessive-compulsive disorder is a constant challenge. He never really had any friends, and instantly gravitated,
mate. He gravitated to a Macmillan, the Dak Action. Tia Queen.
You fat Amy.
I know, I won her!
And gravitates toward Jason. Zach is 17.
I think it's old. A sexual attraction towards Jason.
Yeah, definitely.
So Tony Shalhoub for Billy, then. He can pull off 17 easy.
Yeah!
Much better than David Yost.
Zach is 17 years old, always the life of the party.
Missing a finger.
Zach. Filled with bravado and swag.
No, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, obviously.
Michael B. Jordan. Of the Fantastic Four.
That actually wouldn't be too bad.
Never had trouble with a one-liner or lack confidence around women. A great athlete that's never wanted to play on any team but his own. Does that mean he likes to jerk off a lot?
Ooh.
Sorry, girl. I play on my own team to start doing it in front of her. Player one ready.
Gotcha.
God.
Okay. Zach advertises everything about himself. Okay. Except the truth.
Instagram that joint.
Which is that he lives in a trailer park with his single mom, and because of it, he feels inferior.
Wait, is that I didn't miss that part. I think it's just that Zach's really a white guy who dresses in blackface.
Oh my god.
They're going really controversial for this movie.
This goes around, I'm black, I swear, I identify as a black person.
And then that's it.
Where's Tommy?
Oh my god. And we used the same tone too.
I know.
That was frightening. I want you to know that.
This is like that duet from a few weeks back.
Like that was like every other fucking comment on any of these articles was where's Tommy?
They're probably gonna save him for the second movie.
Probably.
He'll be like the post-credit stinger.
If they even do.
Captain Penis.
Tommy? Tommy is Captain Penis.
The post-credit scene is just a trailer for My Morphin Life Season 3. And then it advertises the Frank Family Ranger key set. Did we talk about the Ranger keys?
Shit!
Boom, retro news. There we go.
Wait, what? The Frank Family key set?
Yes, that was the secret Gokaiger keys, the lost Frank family. It was them all in island attire, like as if they were in Castaway. That's actually the Arrow Season 4 flashback story, is he goes back to the island and finds the Franks filming My Morphin Life Season 3 Island Adventures.
I want a Wilson key. Wilson! Wilson!
It's just like a regular ranger body with a volleyball head.
I want a Tom Hanks ranger key.
That's a thing that exists. Not like the Frank Family ranger keys.
More ranger keys.
More ranger keys.
So, can I do it?
M-O-A-R.
Can I do it? Because I'm really excited. I'm actually excited about this, and I'm buying them. I'm already getting pre-ordered.
Go for it.
All right, so just...
You're probably the only one excited.
I really am. No, probably KO is excited. We're getting more Ranger keys, as you just heard, right? So this is... They're giving us a set of 12 more keys of heroes who were there one time, right? One-time heroes. So what they give us, they give us deck a break.
The term hero is loosely defined. Doesn't even have hero in it or Peter Petrelli.
Shut up, motherfucker!
Frying man.
So we got Decca Bright, from Decca Ranger, aka SPD Nova Ranger. We got Hurricane Dark from the Hurricaneer 10 years after. Then
I didn't even know that was a Ranger power. I thought he just painted his helmet and wore like a bathrobe.
Right? Then we get the Dobutsu Sentai Go Busters keys. So we get Red Cheetah, Blue Gorilla, Yellow Rabbit, Black Puma, Gold Beetle, Silver Stag. Right, so I got all six of those. Then
and a Montana key set.
We also get Green Hippopotamus. Because Green Hippopotamus is the best thing ever. Then on top of that, we get
Fonda key.
We get Deca Gold from the Deca Ranger movie. Now realize, Deca Gold didn't even fully transform. She got shot mid-transformation. And the suit didn't even fully materialize. Then, because they needed something else to give us, they're giving us X1 Mask. Right.
I made a joke about that. I don't remember if it was on air or not.
About what? The fact that...
That they were only making this Ranger key set for X1 Mask, and, like, the next day, X1 Mask was in that key set.
Well, you know, it's funny to me is that when they first did Ranger keys, KO kept pestering me, like, I wonder if they're going to make an X1 Mask key. And Brian might remember this. I insisted to this boy several times they're not doing X1 Mask. Like, chill the fuck out. Calm it down. They're not. That's how we started the whole, like what was it, the random guy, whatever the fuck phrase we use, like, Ranger key. And then here's now is an X1 Mask key. So now, like, 3 years later, I have to be like, well, I guess they did it after all. Then, to round out, because they like even numbers, which I'm fine with because I like even numbers, they're giving us a Ranger key of Go Say Green. I like how everyone's like, a mysterious Go Say your Ranger key. It's not mysterious if you can read.
It says it right on the page.
The words under the picture, it says, Go Say Green. I don't know why that's a secret, but...
Even if it didn't say it, like... Would it be that hard to figure out? Like,
right, like it's clearly there was
technically
like
another Ghost Sager.
It's clear, like it's clearly a Ghost Sager like figure shape with the helmet and everything. So the only possibility is green because they don't make keys of power up modes.
It's my long desired Datus Ranger key.
Right, I actually would not mind that. and then if that's not enough excitement for me, on the same page they say coming soon, basically Tokyuger keys. So this is Ranger
like no
key.
Applause. It's like that awkward moment.
I'm excited because I would love to have Tokyuger keys, and let's just keep the shit going. I'm fine with it.
I hope it's like a 36 key set, one for each of like the line transformations, so you have to pay like $1,000 for it.
And you also get small kid versions that are like half the size.
If that's the case, I might just come find George and just just beat him with the cast of the Jersey Shore.
They could do it.
Oh, yeah. They could. I'm hoping it's just like the six of them, then Tokyo Nanago.
You get Dark Ichigo and
Dark Ichigo and then they just throw in something else. No, they'll probably be stupid, like, here's a wagon ranger key, and then I'll just cut myself.
And then wagon conductor ranger key.
I want ticket ranger key.
Rokugo puppet ranger key. They're just like little finger puppets that come with it.
But what's nice about this set here is that because of the way the fact that these are keys who are actually in a show, the keys can at least do something with your Mike Mobirates, as opposed to like all like the last like four key sets that all just do the same generic Gashapon noise and don't actually do anything. Or like the Kyoryuger user keys that you have to buy the little sound box that comes with it to make it do something. These could actually, like, say Mask Man and Deca Ranger and whatever with your Mobirate so that they're actually semi-useful. But I've been wanting a Deca Bright key since they did Ranger keys just because it would mean, like, another Deca Ranger to complete the set. And I like Deca Bright. And fuck you, I like this. I don't care. I'm Team Ranger King. I'm. You have no idea. I sat at work. Like no one was in the office at that time, which was great because I sat there and just stared at it on the screen for an extended period of time, just looking at the keys because I was that happy and excited. No one else, probably in the world, is that excited about Ranger Keys, but I am. Part of that excitement, see, here's where the OCD problem comes in. Part of the excitement is, let's see what number they're going to give him.
Oh, God.
Kevin's always looking for the promised number.
Aren't, like, most of the numbers repeated?
They actually are, because, like, it's stupid, because I guess they didn't plan on doing half the key, so they didn't leave numbered space. So what they do is, like Signal Man, the little key part is just blue racers, so he still makes it's got the same number. It's just they put the Signal Man body on him, or like Ryo, Melee, Geki Chopper, all are the same. Woolzard Fire, Magi Mother are the same. Like there's a bunch of them that they're just the same number and the same key body. They just put a little different fucking paint job on them, different head. But yeah, I'm fine with it. I like keys. I have an unnatural attachment towards Ranger keys. Don't judge me. Look, I had people come over to my house and like family, not like it was like my wife's family come over and they saw my stuff and were like, this is so cool. Like, she's a young cousin. Like, one's 12 and one's
They all 12. Talk like Doofy from Scary Movie 1. They talk like Doofy.
Like, don't come in my room. I'm cleaning.
Like the little four-year-old kid, he saw all my keys and was, like, freaking out. I took him in the garage. He didn't know what to do. He just saw toys everywhere.
Took him in the garage and chained him up so he wouldn't touch the toys.
him and his sister, they were playing with the Musou Saber and the Ninja Ichibanto and the... And... Like, they were just kept, like, my shit is the coolest thing ever, and, like, all my chargers and the morpher, the Dino Charge morpher, and then they were like, how do you know all this stuff? And she's like, what's this? And I'm like, oh, that's this dinosaur. How do you know that? Because I'm smarter than you. I know everything. God, it's not fucking hard. It's my stuff. I ought to know all about it. But, yeah, my toys impress people. Like, they freak out. It's so fun to walk someone into my garage and then they see all those robots on the shelves and all the toys, and they just go, wow. Wow, you got a lot of stuff. And then when they find out, yeah, that's not all of it. This is like a small fraction of what I have. Wow. And I start showing them the keys. Like, see that chest? Full of keys. That Ziploc bag next to the chest?
See this chest? Full of boobs.
No, that's Lynn sleeping next to me. Like, just full. Like a lot. A lot.
The boobs are the
keys.
Yes. Yes, no. Yes, or full of both. Keys. The full of keys. Full I keep the keys. The keys actually sleep in the bed with me. She boobs sleeps like on the couch. Keys.
She sleeps in the garage. I share a bed with the keys.
She sleeps on the couch. The Ranger keys get the bed. They sleep in the air conditioned. She sleeps outside.
Where's they'll melt. I mean, common sense, people.
We also have new shift cars, the shift next things.
Yes. I pre-ordered those too.
Those are coming out. Those look nice. I just like the way they look.
They really cool. Do. So what you have with that is you have next builder, which is just Technic repainted. You have next Hunter.
Even though it's still obviously a garbage truck.
Right? You have next Hunter and next Deco Traveler, which are just Justice Hunter and Deco Traveler repainted. But with the black scheme and the little blue, like, Dark Drive coloring on them.
Little Tron bits.
Yeah, they look really cool, and I want them. And, of course, here again, my first thought, I wonder what number is going to be on the bottom of these cars.
The promised one.
I have a real problem. Brian will tell you.
He does, man. Like, you have no idea. Listeners, you have no idea.
That's part of the pre-show stuff we keep from you.
The amount of time I've pestered Brian about numbers is he wants to kill me sometimes, I think. I think he probably has tried.
I had my chance.
I just don't know about it. He did. He had his chance. I think I woke up one time and he was standing over me with a pillow.
I was really close.
Like, I just hear him mumbling, the numbers, it must stop. And the pillow's getting closer. And maybe that was just my dreams. Then they also put up that Savior Arrow and the Zakuro Loxie, which I pre-ordered that also.
I pre-ordered everything except the Ranger Keys, because I don't care anymore.
Yeah, the Lockseed thing is November. The keys are December. The cars, I think, are also December. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Marin is November, and I had Oki pre-order Marin as well.
When like, I pre-ordered Krillin's girlfriend.
Like, I just love how...
And we'll his be- daughter. Creepy on two levels.
I like how... Right? I like how we'll be finishing the first quarter of Ghost, and we'll be getting lock seeds in the mail.
I know. Like, how, like, crazy is that? Like, we'll be a good amount into Ghost, and here we are getting Gaim toys still. Like, it's but a line that never
but
ends.
But that's our point with the toys, though, and the Ghost stuff, is that it's doable and completely fine because, I mean, yeah, most of these are, you know, a repaint, but all the sounds are new, and they can keep doing it as long as they fucking want, because all the Sengoku driver is a piece of plastic that makes, like, the sounds lock on, lock off. Suiya! Come on! Like, that's all it does. It doesn't have all the, like, things pre-built into it, like the Forze driver and the Wizard driver and whatever else. It's just a hunk of plastic. All the sounds are in the lock seed, and that's why lock seeds are always superior to everything except Gaia Memories.
We're almost halfway through the Ninja, and we're still getting Ranger Keys.
Yes, but that's... Exactly. We're almost...
But they don't have the same, well, like, the play thing, value as lock seeds, though.
The thing
we're
about Ranger Keys...
We're almost to the 40th.
Is that, like, it's an item that people don't care about connectivity with other toys. They just want the little tiny Ranger Key to sit on their shelves. They don't care if it makes noise in the mobile. They don't care if it comes with little sound capsules. They don't care about anything. They just want the little key to put on a shelf.
It's a collectible. It's a decent display piece, and especially like with this set, you have like deck of bright and gold to add to your deck of Rangers. You have Hurricane Dark to put with the Hurricanes. You have all the Dobutsu Sentai Go Busters because that was the best movie ever. And then go say green to stick with blue. And it makes me really excited because I want to know what animal they're going to stick on his helmet.
Probably a shark. Spoiler alert.
Oh, I want like an actual... I want them to come up with an actual thing that's not a shark.
A tornado?
And have an actual... Like, but then the way I think about it, I have two keys of Senchan now. So that's fine. Both of them green.
And you can put them both in their shinking pose.
You can, because that's what keys can do. You can shinking pose them. But, like lock seeds are just so fun, and you can just keep making more, and there's always more fruits. That
I feel like they're going to punish me, and they're going to make Ranger Keys the gimmick for the 40th.
Like, I love how we're almost to the 40th Sentai, and we're still getting stuff from that go with the 35th.
This is a line that never ends.
I really feel like the next thing they're going to put up on Premium Bandai, well, actually, they put up this shuriken that makes giant monsters or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that thing. Goes I was like, what even
are you?
That goes
with the hammer no one could pre-order. But the next thing they're going to put up is probably like ACPB09 Jinba Knuckle and... I don't know, whatever else, the Genesis guy or something. They're going to have some other thing. But I actually would not mind Jinba Knuckle if the four-sided Jinba piece came with, like, Dragon Fruit and Matsubokuri and Marin and, like, all those other ones that way you can do those Jinbas.
Mm-hmm. I thought I about think, that. That seems like the way to go.
Like, that would be really nice, and, you know, because then you could Jinba Gaim them, or, you know, Jinba Knuckle, and you can switch those. But, I mean, that's another line that never dies, but the AC figures are just really fun, and I like them, and I want stuff. I want things. I have a problem. I just sit in the corner and rock back and forth quietly.
Okay,
like,
so
I get more toys, and Kaylee gets excited. It's like, yay, more toys! We were in Walmart today.
One-ups, part three.
I just remember things randomly. We were in Walmart to get a couple of things. Like, we weren't even trying to get a whole lot, and I wasn't going to go look at toys because I had just been there 2 days ago and I knew they had no fucking toys. But we're walking, and Kaylee goes, Mommy, can me and Daddy go look for new toys? Like, I've trained her. We go to the store. You look for toys. This is what you do. It's part of life.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me so proud. So she always asks, can we go look at toys? We need to go find new Power Ranger toys. Yes, that's right. She goes, come on, Daddy, let's go look at toys. No, you can't go look at toys. We need to leave. Fine. Are there any other nudes?
Oh, yeah. There's non-Toku news. There's, like, a Flash poster with Jay on it.
Oh, yeah, the Flash of Two Worlds poster.
That's really neat. I want that on a shirt.
It's a spoiler. They told us who they're casting as Jay. I mean, come on. You spoiled the whole show with that.
I'm excited about all the casting with those shows.
Oh, my God. Tara from True Blood and Arrow.
I don't know what that means, but Jerry Ryan's going to be an Arrow.
She might understand
the word Arrow. What? How dare you? Get out.
No, like, Tara was like Diggle before Diggle was Diggle.
No, that's Bailey. Oh. Bailey is female Diggle. We already Diggled this Diggle.
Well, yeah. Well, she's
I
want to like,
Diggle your Diggle.
She's like...
For Shiggle my Diggle.
Or Diggle with Diggle on top.
Fig
except
this.
She stays fucked and she's on HBO.
I don't know what's happening right now.
I ain't even got this.
what else is there? Black Panther.
Black Panther is very black and it pisses off Keith Justice and it makes me so fucking happy.
Like, I thought they were going to make him magenta. So
he
I was like,
hates
what?
Black Panther because...
Why?
Because the it's got black in the name. I can't make this up. Because it's black in the name, and it's a black guy, and he's feeling like I'm being generic and plain and just black. Like, and I guess to him, it's like he's like a token black guy from Africa, and so he's got black in the name, and he's a black guy, and I don't know.
It's like one of those things that's like not offensive, and then someone draws attention to it. And then suddenly it becomes offensive because attention has been drawn to it by one person, whereas everyone else wasn't finding anything offensive about it.
Pretty much.
Here, I'll be the
or comic just loser. A douchebag.
I'll be the comic loser and say that like Stan Lee and Jack Kirby named him after the Black Panther Party, which is like a political movement in the 70s. And he's like, his name is Black Panther because they were a group of black people that were fighting for justice.
Ooh, comic jammed. Justice jammed. All the jams.
History jammed.
You got so jammed you got marmalated. Like, that's for real.
Or exactly. Masturbation.
But, like, his costume looks cool.
I really want to see Spider-Man's. Because it's supposed to be different, and I want to see how they're going to set it apart from it since... Yeah. And I hope that when they do, if they do have a different one, they don't have a different one for a year and then go back to a derivative of the regular costume again.
I actually kind of hope it's, like, before the costume was blue and red, it was black and red. Not like Miles's costume, where it's mostly black and all, you know, a little bit of red. It was the opposite. Like, where there's blue, there's... black.
What if it's just Peter Parker's costume from the first Spider-Man movie? Oh, when he wrestled. Like, Amazing Spider-Man 2 suit looked really good, but
that was great.
I like that they went different with the first movie.
Yeah, me too.
And so, like, I was a little bit disappointed that they just went for like a perfected one. Like Amazing Spider-Man 2 was essentially like a perfected version of the one from the first movies.
Genius.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not that I didn't like it, it's just I love that they went with something fresh, and I hope if they do something fresh, that they stay with it being fresh. I sound like I'm talking in the 80s. It's fresh, yo.
I'm super fresh.
Don't get fresh with me, though.
Unlike your mom's vagina, I'm super fresh.
Lord. Dear Lord. What's other non-Toku news?
Constantine's coming to Arrow.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that. So he's gonna bring Sarah back.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. I like that.
It's nice for the people.
Wait, is that a thing? Is he really bringing Sarah back, or is?
Yeah, he's gonna be part of that storyline.
Oh, cool.
Like I think that it's a totally different situation, obviously, since Constantine's canceled. But it gives me hope that they could eventually down the line possibly do something with Supergirl.
Yes,
I think the CW side in the interview I read said they're open to it. Like they're going to be doing cross promotion and stuff. And
it's going to be like the superhero Fight Club promo.
Yeah, and I honestly believe that there's a good chance we could see little nods like Big Belly Burger or something like that.
Oh, I hope.
But I don't think it's closed off completely. I think that it's certainly possible. So that'd be cool.
I'm just really excited to see him again, because I liked Constantine a lot more than I thought I was going to.
Are you sure you're not thinking about the guy from My Morphin Life? He's the mystery key.
That's my favorite Constantine. My favorite Constantine is Tom.
My favorite is Constantine Maroulis from American Idol.
Oh my god, American Idol reference.
What?
I didn't think about that. I feel like there's another one. Oh, wow.
I'll pretend I care.
Constantine Dyson. 2015.
So that's really cool. I do like that they managed to pull that off and NBC wasn't a bunch of dicks or something like that.
They're usually nice.
I thought you liked a bunch of dicks.
Not NBC's, though.
Oh.
They leave a bad taste in my mouth. I just don't like it.
Dear Lord.
Yeah.
What was that?
I blew into my straw.
Okay, I thought it was a straw. Or
there's
a
no way of saying that without it sounding dirty, especially after this conversation.
Speaking of blowing,
the ninja
tornado's gonna be on Supergirl.
Took me a while to remember who that guy was, and I remembered he was on Young Justice.
He's a robot.
I was trying to remember who he was, and then I didn't have a memory of him.
He's a red twirly guy.
Yeah, he just
that's a pretty good description for a guy called Red Tornado. What about Heaven's Tornado? Always remember Heaven's Tornado, guys.
What about Red Tornado?
I can't tell if serious.
Why?
We're talking about Red Tornado.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention.
Classic Pylo. Stupid Jerry. Should have never saved his life.
Speaking of fart attacks, superhero time.
So now it's time for superhero time. Ninja. Kamen Rider Drive. Start your golden showers. I just wanted to do something different. I thought it was funny.
So
that happened.
So Ninja was a thing. It wasn't that bad. At least they're starting to do some sort of something with this Ben 10 alien horror trio that's happening. We got Frankenstrike first. Next week looks to be Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah, but he did. Fuck you.
And I thought that the whole keeping Fuka out of it was kind of dumb, but I'll admit I was amused by Kasumi taking her part. Like just filling in for her, like the roll call kind of killed me. It's like I can do it.
I like that she took over and like it was fine. Like
that's what I'm about to say. Like she took over for everything and it didn't matter. You didn't even notice the fact that there was one less person, which shows you just how useless Fuka really is. Like I mean, granted, you could probably do the same thing for Nagi, but.
This is a total side note, but it sort of pertains to the episode. Like, when they're eating, you know, those, like, they're at the restaurant where they cook the meat right there. What a great scam Japan has, where they make you cook your own meals.
Like, I know.
I'm like, they pulled it off. Like, they did it. First, they're like, we're not going to cook the fish, and then we make them cook the meat. We can just sit around and practice martial arts.
And then so, charge them money to like, make them to let them I cook mean, their own food in our restaurant.
Like, that's legit. That's a great scheme. Because I've seen that on multiple occasions and all kinds of
Tokyo. They did it in Akito. They sat there and cooked their own meat while the bitch was drinking like 8 pints of beer.
And then they just popped up in their DSs. Earthquake is probably nothing. It's probably not a giant monster.
Right?
Someone's evolving. It was their dad. He evolved into someone who's around now. What if he and the grandfather are the same person? Have they ever been in the same room together? Probably. This joke's falling apart. But
most of your jokes fall apart. Episode.
An episode in which he's not there is a great episode.
But yeah, like you could probably do the entire like show with just red, pink, and gold and be done with it. Like, you don't even need the other three. They're just there doing stupid shit.
I feel like Blue hasn't even spoken a word in the last 5 episodes.
I'm fine with that. Like, he's kind of fucking annoying.
He said, like, not easy in this episode or something.
He must not have been talking about Dawson's mom, because that'd be easy. What?
He didn't even go to Hogwarts. He went to some knockoff school.
Yeah, he went to Durmstrang.
He went to Big Pimple.
He went to Big Pimpin'.
But
yeah, it was just I still have yet to find a ninja that I enjoy. Like, there are some that are less bad, but I have yet to find one that I go, man, this was fun. I enjoyed this.
At least this storyline will likely tie into who ruined Star's photo shoot, old timey West photo shoot with his family. Like, there were other pictures besides this one. He destroyed the memory card.
It's supposed to be a werewolf, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's the werewolf.
That's why we have the, you know, horror trio story.
That's why he's going last.
Silence.
Fucking douchebag motherfucker.
I couldn't decide whether I wanted to make a Teen Wolf werewolf reference or a Vampire Diaries one, and then I froze.
I was going to say, damn it, Scott.
Damn it, Cox.
That's where Derek went.
Exactly. Fun fact, Derek and Diggle were in one episode of Castle together. The universe exploded in it.
What?
I know, right? I saw a rerun today, and Diggle and Derek were in the same episode. 2 Ds.
One more D, and we have to get Guy Fieri in here.
Oh, no.
The first true Super Saiyan of Earth. Wait till he goes Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan. That's only after he's been to 5 restaurants.
Where's my Guy Fieri Ranger key? He comes with the Frank family set.
Where's my Versus movie of him versus the guy that does Man versus Food? But I think that guy like actually like lost weight, and so I don't know. Either way, if you watch those at 1 a.m., you get really hungry. And then you just think of what a pussy they are for not being able to finish it because you're so hungry you feel like you could just eat all the food they're challenging. But it probably in reality is pretty difficult.
Yep.
So yeah.
Sounds like George has tried that.
I have. My so sister. What?
No, your sister.
Oh, my sister worked for a restaurant where they had like big challenges and shit. And like, can you eat 100 wings? And I'm like, no thanks.
Can you eat 100 Guy Fieri's? No.
I think I can.
I think I can. Super God!
Super God! That bitch right there.
But no, it was okay. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It was just kind of there. It didn't make me aggravated, I guess.
That's actually a good description for Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. That was actually a really good review of every episode of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Sentai's doing terrible in ratings, so it's going to be replaced by it next year. It's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives and Kamen Rider.
Makes sense.
Drivers, all drivers in the diner.
What?
Diners, drivers, and dives. It's about common, right? Like drivers.
It's an entire thing about belts on going to eat places.
It's Guy Fieri trying to eat various drivers.
What an amazing Kamen Rider Guy Fieri would be.
Like, what if he got to the Sengoku driver? He'd be like, oh man, fruit. Just put the lock seat in his mouth.
Oh god.
I don't know how the ninja ended up being about Guy Fieri.
Tries to put hot sauce on and then puts it in the driver.
Oh man. Classic.
Come on.
The ultimate villain is Rachel Ray.
Rachel Ray is the ultimate villain of life.
Well, yeah, we already knew that. Fuck Rachel Ray.
When she says Yemo, a baby dies in the
Oh my god. Make me a Sammy.
God damn it.
EVOO.
Like, no, bitch, you make me a sandwich. That's how this works.
Our fictional show about Food Network Kamen Riders is more entertaining than an ninja is.
It is. That's why we have to distract ourselves. Still waiting for the scans for the next Sentai.
I like how, George, I like how on your notes you wrote, everyone was treating Fuka like a dog.
Like, she literally, they're running her around like, oh, she's got to have a good time. She's got to have a good time. She's like a fucking 3-year-old or a dog. The dog in Drive this week was better than her.
She's a Make-A-Wish cancer child. She has to have a good time.
That's exactly what it felt like.
She has to have a good time. Make sure she goes on all the rides she likes. Get her the food she likes. Why is she dying next week? What's happening?
Oh, I hope so. Kill them off one by one.
Why can't we start with Takaharu? Then we won't have to hear Moitekita every 15 seconds.
Most interesting ongoing storyline is, will he finally commit to actually shouting it?
Who, me?
No.
Oh.
No, he will not. Nor will he ever.
Like, he's a whore.
Go shout.
Just like Brian, he's a whore.
Speaking of whores, Drive.
How amazing,
like Medic,
was that?
Medic's a whore.
That works. She.
I like Drive a lot.
Yep.
Drive was really good this week.
Like, it's gotten so much better. You know what? I did not like that what's his fucking name? The cop guy, like the actual cop, did that whole little gag thing. I didn't like that because that was just a reminder of how bad the show was at one point. Like, when he just went over the top.
When did a cop gag?
When he watched.
When I shoved my penis down his throat.
Oh god.
You axed.
I did?
You
single
axed.
Axe. I single axed. I forgot the signal first.
It was when he was talking about love.
Yeah, and.
Oh!
Yeah. Like, that annoyed me, but, like, other than that, I enjoyed the episode. I like killing 006 by just ripping out his core and just smashing it with the tentacle.
He legitimately served no purpose in this, like, entire show. They were like, he might be important, and Bono's like, nope!
Nope, tentacle rape!
And Bono revealed himself to be an even sicker fuck, like, talking about how his kid were just subordinates.
I know, right? I watched them, like, this is, like, some messed up shit right here.
No, he is. Like, we knew he was evil, but it's like, there's, like, no shred of humanity in him.
Like, zero whatsoever. At least Michi had a little bit of shred of retribution to him. This guy's got nothing. He's gone.
He's gone. We know what happened. He had crazy scientist hair. Red flag. But that's what happened to Einstein. Einstein was Gold Drive in the past. Everyone knows that. Did you guys read your history about when Einstein turned into a Gold Rider and killed everyone?
Like little Einsteins?
Yes, that's what the show was based off of. But yeah, that I really like that, though. I like that there's not something redeeming. It's kind of shocking, especially for Go. And I guess I mentioned last week, I just think it's funny how against Remutants he was, and like Bono's worse than almost all of the Toku monsters recently, just because they almost all have some sort of human motivation, and this guy's just evil as fuck.
All of the Roidmutes have some sort of humanity to them, and that's what makes them Roidmutes, obviously. But like, this guy's got nothing. Like, he's just a sick fuck.
And, like, I didn't get to talk about it because I was dead last week, but, like you have all stuff with Heart, and, like, you actually, by the time you're done with, like, Heart's backstory and stuff, you're like, I kind of feel bad for him. Like, you kind of, like, you feel, like, you know, you see why he is the way he is. But then Bono is just like, well, fuck, dude, you are, like, insane. You are, like, just batshit crazy off the deep end completely.
They showed us last week, obviously we know who her Heart came from now, and we saw Medic. What's her name's original. Yeah, do we know what Brains is?
No.
No, but I really want to know where Medic got this dog from.
This is a two-part episode, but it was the girl's dog.
Oh.
The dog's yeah. Show.
I like the dog.
Because this is important. It's my favorite.
Look, it's a cute dog. I like the dog. Fuck you. Just because you are not into dogs, you're probably like one of those fuckers that enjoys the sad dog commercial.
No, I enjoy the sad children commercials. The dog ones make me sad.
Well, sad children are hilarious.
You see a sad children commercial and you're like, thank God it's not the dogs. Now I can get the popcorn ready.
Well, those are fucking hilarious, but I like the dog, and I like how she orders Brain to take the dog and run, and Brain is just terrified of this animal.
He's, like, completely inept at how to take care of an animal.
the dog is completely...
He got caught by Bono because he was screaming no because it peed on him.
I'd be the same way.
Well, yeah.
It was kind of funny. Oh, Brain.
But I like how great. I love Brain.
Put him back into his like little 300 non-body when she pissed him off.
300?
You know, whatever.
This is the smart.
He keeps turning around, so it messed it up. So, what else happened? Chase was an FBI agent. I love that Chase is like... When you think about it, he's been consistently funny the whole show just because in the first half he, like, comedically followed Drive around. And now he's, like, he's got that really good Terminator humor that, like, Arnold yes. had or, like, Cameron had in the show where, like, they're so robotic it's funny. And, like, when that cop guy was being gagged by Kevin's dick, like, he was like, I don't understand. Like, it was just funny. And I don't know. I love Chase. A lot of people get
choked on by my dick.
I thought it was really funny.
This entire episode was basically just Chase walking around going, I wanna know what love is.
And him realizing he might like Kirihiko is still a better love story than anything going on in Falling Skies. Just want to say that. Except maybe Tom and Anne, but they just got married and finished that shit off. They're like, man, we got shit to do. Let's get married. That was their gun to go fight Skitters. Anyway, that's for later. Look out for Jan. Dunder Mifflin Corporate is the true villain of Falling Skies. Anyway, I like how I say I'll stop and then I keep going.
Right.
Speaking of Go, I got nothing really. It was just Go the way it presented itself.
Go is just Go and it got beat up by Pete on Drive.
Gold Drive's really nice. I like Gold Drive a lot.
Like when he transformed, like the suit shot of his like helmet was really good looking. Like I said, I still don't really like the run over Fruit Loop tire, but like everything else is cool. Like it just looks really nice. And this is the last episode before it leads into the movie, right?
I think so. I don't know. Like, I mean, the next episode is the follow up to this, so I don't know if the movie happened between 40 and 41.
I feel like now that we know that the Krim's, you know, probably disaffected from that ship, it's going to end up being more like an A to Z thing, where if you watch it, it's like a really nice part of the plot, but I don't think we're going to be missing a huge chunk of any logic.
That's why I want to say it happened already.
Yeah, I mean, because I remember the teaser. There was a teaser at the end with his son being chased by the T-1000 drive. so that was a thing. So I didn't know how long they were continuing that. Did they do that with the last movie?
Not like this. No,
that's really neat. So, yeah.
What, have those little lead-in things?
Yeah, that's just kind of
No, they didn't.
A lot more effective marketing for me than all of a sudden having some random washed-up has-been take over two of your episodes or an episode or whatever.
Poor guy.
Poor GoBusters.
Oh, poor GoBusters.
They had to have dumbass helmet Kota. Is that her name?
Yeah.
I almost called her Japanese Emily.
It's all the same, really?
That would make Monet Japanese Mexican Emily.
Well, you know, Super Sentai started out as Power Rangers in America.
Right.
Powerful Rangers. With
Wild Force.
IGN.
That's right.
No Super Sentai has ever been released in America. Good job, guys. Props to you. Ace reporting.
Aces, Charles.
Speaking of Ace.
Oh, shit. It took me 10 minutes to get that reference, Kevin.
Oh.
Wait, the Aces, Charles one?
Was there another reference just now I don't know about?
It said 10 minutes, so I'm like... What happened 10 minutes ago.
A is Charles. That's what I heard.
What's happening?
No, what?
Not Charles.
Pretty Flyers, I...
No, it was a Chuck reference.
Oh my god. How the fuck did I miss a Chuck reference and confuse a fucking Pretty Little Liars?
Go sit and think about what you did, and we'll continue trying to remember what happened. There wasn't actually too much more. I mean, it was a good episode, but we pretty much covered most of the important stuff.
Because, I mean, like I said, it's a two-part episode that's following up this week, so
yeah.
A lot of, like, the super important story elements are probably going to be this coming week, but we had the adorable dog, and we had brain and dog antics, and...
And Chase, I think the last thing that happened in the episode was Chase was about to hit Medic, and then Drive stopped him.
Oh, yeah, because he's a dick.
And he's like, what the hell, man? I was about to ask her a question. Like, he's like, I want to ask you something, Medic, and Chase is like, me too.
Let's all make fun of the way Kevin talks.
It's too good, though. It's too perfect. And they have a weapon this year for it.
They have a weapon every year for it because they like axes for some reason.
They're really inquisitive, I guess. I don't know. Just...
You asshole. They're really inquisitory.
The Inquisitor. It's from Star Wars.
With my penis.
So, speaking of Star Wars, Tokuger.
What?
The Inquisitor is from Star Wars, you know.
No, I know that. I'm trying to figure out how you go speaking of Star Wars, Tokuger.
That's how my segues work.
Really, really bad, apparently. You
Dawson's
should probably
segues
get...
are like the super segue from Paul
Because
Bart, too.
Some of the colors... in Tokuger are used for lightsaber colors. It makes sense.
Because
we got Tokyu, Mace Windu's lightsaber go. In
you
this
nailed
episode.
That one.
Boom. There we go. See? Who's also Nick Fury, so it's all connected.
Brian, are you sure
also
can't just fire
every movie
boss.
Ever.
Motherfucking...
Because every movie Sam Jackson isn't in, I'm trying to find one.
Where's my super suit?
He wasn't in Paul Blart 2.
How do you know?
I watched it.
Don't know
he wasn't
life.
There.
I still need to watch that. I bought the DVD like a few weeks ago. I need to watch it.
I need to buy the DVD, but I just saw it. I saw it at Popcorn.
You mean at the movies?
Yes, but my 4-year-old refers to it as going to Popcorn.
It's actually pretty funny.
We're going
actually,
to
like,
Popcorn.
That's what Brian should still... refer to it as. Like, no matter how exciting the movie, Brian's always more excited about the popcorn.
That is true. I've got, like, a bucket right here of the refill I got before I left the movie theater, and I am in heaven right now. You're recording from heaven? Yes.
Reception there.
I'm up here with Jesus and Satoru Iwata.
And Bobby.
Iwata.
Too soon?
Still been crying for weeks over that. I was going through my like old emails, and I had the email from Nintendo I got after the announcement of X and Y, and I opened it, and all I can remember is the direct with Iwata, and I got sad again.
I just it keeps happening over and over again. Something reminds me of Iwata, and I get sad. I just go, I just want one more direct. Just one more directly to you.
Maybe they'll have one, because it seems like they always save some tapes for when someone dies called the lost footage. Like, I feel like they do it on purpose. Like, every time a celebrity dies, like, Whitney Houston, the lost footage. Like, what? Where did you lose it? With those Ranger keys in the Dragon Ball GT episodes?
It's all in Guy Fieri's basement.
God. It's all in Jared from Subway.
That's his Boner Jams 05. Or was it 03? I don't remember what Ant-Man was doing. He was like...
That was a deleted scene, in the summer actually, of 2003.
A deleted scene from Ant-Man's actually a follow-up to the Boner Jam scene from 40-Year-Old Virgin.
You know how I know you're gay? You have an Asia poster.
Trying to think what the other ones were. There was one, I have a bumper sticker where I say I love it and my balls are in my face. That's gay?
You know how I know you're gay? Listen to Coldplay.
You're gay? I saw you make a loaf of sourdough bread once. classic. Such a good movie. And I was nailing her, and she was like, oh man, you're nailing me. Cool. That part always kills me. The way he says cool.
You need to keep your hoe on a leash.
Bitch is running wild, man. Kevin, that's really good.
Please tell Brian about Mr. S. Keep your hoe on a leash.
Remember that time Kevin and I were left alone and we're like calling Brian, he's gone crazy. He doesn't understand shipping, and Brian's like, toodle.
There's like a promotion for like a free stand or something when you buy a big yard.
Oh god, Mr. S messed that up. He was like, oh, we can give it away to anyone, ever.
And you're supposed to like buy like this decayed figure art and you get a stand, and Mr. S is like, yeah, any figure art you buy, you just get the stand. And we're just going to pick whoever we give it to. We're like, what the fuck? I want the stand. Not that I'm going to use it, but I'm supposed to get a free stand. Give me the fucking free stand.
I just want justice.
And Brian was off swimming and masturbating in a hotel pool. And
you know that's what I do.
And I'm like, we're just like, Brian, you need to get this guy under control. And he's like, man, I'm busy, like, masturbating in this pool. He's not going to do anything.
Look, I fixed y'all's problem.
So Brian's like, there's nothing I can do about it right now. I'm going to get a stand anyway because Mr. S is just going to give me his. All I have to do is whine like a little girl and Mr. S will just give me his stand for free because he loves me and is my Asian dad.
What happened.
Like, it's like, I don't care about you guys. Fuck y'all. I'm like, oh, okay. Thanks, Brian. Co-worker. My esteemed co-worker. Like...
Man, that seems like so long ago. Early days.
She was a hoe. Faux show.
Superhero Time was interesting this week. It covered many a topics.
Joe Huger didn't even start. It got completely derailed, literally.
We left the station.
I love Hyper Rush Ateo, like the toy. It's just the best toy ever.
The brick?
Yes, it's just, there's something oddly fun about it. I don't know why I like
it. You can use it to break windows, like if you get locked out of your house.
Well, that and the Hyper Rush, like I can take it and I can just click it like back and forth, and it's a stress release for me.
Click it or tick it. It works because you either put your seatbelt on or you have to walk around with a puppet on your hand for 3 months.
I get it. You're
a spokesperson for that, like, for real. I want, like, little, like, police flyers that say click it or ticket with a little monkey puppet on there.
Oh my god, that would be the best thing ever. But yeah, I really like that toy. I don't know why. I made a whole point about it in my review. Like, I like it because I can click this little train over and over again and it calms me down. Don't judge me.
Too late.
Damn it. I like numbers, okay? Don't judge me.
I think Kevin has just been a roided plant for years.
I know they numbered all the roid mutes. They knew what to do. Just lure me into this show. I still have yet to find that chart, by the way. I really want...
What, the one
I went looking for it. I couldn't find it.
I'll find it for you, child.
Promise chart.
Whose website was it on?
TV Asahi.
I went there. I couldn't find it. I must be special.
You what about special. TV Asahim? That's just a 24/7 Stephen Amell network.
I'm fine with that. Did we get like werewolf Stephen Amell?
Before we get to Tokyo Drift, I just want to point out that one of my favorite things on Twitter, probably second to the interaction between the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter cast, is the banter between Stephen Amell and the Winchesters. It's pretty great.
The best thing ever.
Like, I don't remember what it was. I love Stephen Amell. I was like, I'll start in season 4. And one of them said, well, call me when you have 8 more or something. Supernatural just going to go forever. They pretty much said that in like one of their like upfront things. They're like, so long as everyone wants to do it, we're just going to keep going. Hunting things, the family business.
As long as we can keep getting Castiel back, we're good. I love Castiel.
Speaking of Cass,
Dean. I need Tokyo Dean in my life.
Cass was the secret Tokyo Nanago.
I would have loved it if Cass was Tokyo Nanago.
The pizza man told me how to transport.
So, Brian, did we establish if that thing KO said about, like, Tokyo Nanago was accurate?
I have no idea. It's definitely plausible.
It seems plausible because, well, the thing is, like, the whole thing seemed set up for Zed to be Nanago with all his purple wearing and everything. And then all of a sudden...
Of, like, all the people, too. Like, and it would have been
made
perfect.
A ticket.
It would have been perfect if it was him too, because not only because of where his story was ticket? Like leading. No, Zed. I'm sure his name for a second. We just said it. That's how bad I am.
Finster.
But Finster. No, you know the cripple guy. That's like I voice Wizard Mon. Sorry, that was so offensive.
Robert Axelrod.
It's kind of scary. It's like visiting the Wicked Witch. Anyway, sorry. I'll stop.
He's an old man.
It would have been that doesn't mean... It doesn't matter. Anyway.
He's making fun of Robert Axelrod over here.
Well, he charges too much for autographs. I'm just saying. Like, seriously. All the villains do. It's like, come on now. Anyway. Jesus. I get distracted easily. It would have been perfect because of the plot that was going on, especially like with Akira and him becoming human and stuff like that. I think he would have been a really good bridge for both worlds, and he would have fit really well into the plot. Instead, like you have Conductor Nanago showing up for like 4 seconds to dance around at the beginning, and then for the final fight scene.
Like considering the title of the movie, I just felt really let down. Sort of.
Yeah, that's why it does really seem plausible that maybe it was Zed and he was going to be a bigger deal. So, like, I'm disappointed in that respect, but regardless of him, the movie was great without him.
It really was. It surprised me a little bit. I mean, I enjoyed the last bits of Tokuger quite a bit. But it was really nice to, I guess, because, like, Ninja's been so bad...
It's kind of like when we were hating on Ghostager and Shinkenger came back for a minute and we were like, please don't leave us.
So, like, even though I didn't fully enjoy Tokuger, like, I enjoyed it more than I like Ninja right now. So, like, getting Tokuger back for a little bit, I was like, please stay.
Commando Takaru has saved us.
Brian, hit him over the head. That was the last time we hired Brian for bits.
Yep.
That's Brian making a fapping noise.
And just a mess.
That was great. Like, you had one job was to, like, make a clanking noise. It was, like, classic. Anyway. I also really enjoyed the last, like, arc of Tokuger. I thought they did a lot better. And in particular, one of the things I liked about the show was how unique the concept of them being kids was. Yeah. And they really capitalized on that whole bit. For that bit, like it's a joke, but like for this whole movie, which is
great. Which part did they capitalize? The first letter, like every letter?
The whole thing, like full on excited internet revealed caps.
Oh god.
Except for the last E, I think they accidentally forgot to, but.
That makes sense.
But it was just really interesting to see, like, you got the kids, like, a couple years after Tokuger took place, and then you have, like, the full on adult ones. I love how It's like 2025 future and then 2017 present, which is like Parks and Rec future, and I'm still thinking it's 2017 all the time. And it's like 2025 again. But that was, it was really neat to do that and to see like the different places they were at. I didn't remember the, them having their powers still at the end of Tokuger, but I guess they do.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they did a good job of playing like the adult, like real adult Tokusers. Like, they dressed them all differently and they acted a little bit differently. And I liked the whole plot behind it of they lost their imagination. And like, I guess the kind of message of the resolution of like, there was two messages where like growing up isn't as scary as you think. And also like, it's yes, okay it to is. Still have a child imagination as a grown up, which definitely pertains to us.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about, but it definitely
even though our child imaginations now include genitals all over the place in our jokes.
I do love having my genitals all over the place, but it is scary to grow up. You have bills and sponsibilities and
just like Tommy Pickles. Tommy right? Pickles. Tommy Pickles knew it.
I have children. Well, he was always trying to scary that is. Like, that's a lot of work. I mean, granted, it's really fun when they get to play with your toys. Like,
Kevin is terrified because he is now Stew Pickles. Playing with toys in the basement while his kids have adventures. Oh my gosh. Kaylee is Angelica. Look, it's funnier if you do. Okay?
Kaylee is kind of a badass like Angelica and really bossy. Right, Brian?
Yeah. Did she have the token black Susie? That was terrible.
Brian was the token black.
I was Susie.
Brian's going to adopt an African baby because he wants to be like Angelina or Angela Jolly. Boom! Raising Hope reference. Oh, that show is special.
I missed it.
But,
I got way sidetracked. Bottom line is, it was a really good message.
It was. I enjoyed that quite a bit because, like you said, it does pertain to us, like, super. It pertains to a lot super. Of the fandom, really, but...
Yeah.
A
lot of people in general that are just into very similar things.
And, like, the core here is, like, that's something that actually happens. Like, people will lose interest in something because they feel like at that age they can't like it. It's like, oh, you're too old for this, and that's absolute garbage. That's horseshit.
Mm-hmm. That's how I ended up out of Power Rangers for about 4 years.
I'm thankful it never happened to me. You know, it was told to me like several fucking times. It's still told to me
3 years. Yeah.
So so there's that, but like you're not too old to think like that or have an imagination or something. And I thought that was an absolutely great message. And it really drove home how, like, the kid concept, if it was fleshed out in the show a little bit more, like, with the actual kid actors, it could have been really cool if, like, this, like, time travel thing was an actual element of the show, perhaps.
Yeah.
Not that it like sucked because it was only this movie or whatever, but it was really fun. And like I said, the messages were good, and the Tank Top Shadow was great.
Oh my god.
Tank Top.
It's my best wet dream I've ever had come to life. I fucking love tank tops, and I love the Tokuger monsters, and it was like, he was like some Native American motherfucker with like hangers and shit. Oh my god.
His design was pro. I love his hanger weapons. Like,
and they brought him back to life because.
Yeah.
That's it.
The reasoning was he managed to bring me back to life.
Somehow. I think the word somehow was actually there.
I think, but the direct line was he saved me somehow.
Yeah. I love the Tokuger villain designs. Like,
me too.
That's one of the reasons I want them to do Tokuger next year, is that if we're going to be doing this bazillion villain figures shit, I want like all the awesome Tokuger ones instead of the cotton candy explosion Tokuger ones. So that would be great. All of them are good except Aunt Jemima. She just, no.
Where's those rangers?
What about that the gym leader from what the fuck was that region? Unova. There we go. The one after Kakana Sword Boy.
So I'm help me out a little bit, maybe.
Do I have to?
Yeah. Fuck. So, like, they went back in time because they fell through this wormhole. But, like, the wormhole opened Stargate? Because Greta was trying to send them home after they'd already went through the wormhole.
Yeah.
I thought that Greta in the future sent him home, or back, because she knew it.
That's what I kind of figured, but then Ikari kept going on about time paradoxes, so I...
I thought it just had to do with, like, them interfering and then remembering it and all that, everything to do with it. That's what I thought. Because there was obviously an original timeline, because they referenced the fact that they first found out about everything going on with Akira, like, when Greta came and talked to him, and, like, they sort of referenced the way things originally went. But then, yet, at the same time, they had, like, the day of the doctor shit, where, like, Eleven only remembered things after they started happening to him now. I don't know. It's all very, you know, how it goes. Weebly wobbly, timey wimey. Thank you, Doctor Who, for giving me an all-purpose time travel explanation word. But, I mean, either way, it's not that terrible of an explanation whether it was past or future Greta that did it. Either way, it's just terrifying seeing Greta stumbling towards you in an umbrella. Like, and it literally was going boom, boom, boom when she walked towards you, too.
So that's just what happens with Greta. She's so fat.
I'm really disappointed that Zed wasn't in this. I mean, I know it was actor conflicts and stuff, but... it would have been really cool to see him again. And like K.O. said, I do feel like there's a possibility that he was supposed to be Seven. Like Kevin said, there was just so much evidence to point toward that. And that was like
sat there being obsessed with light.
Exactly. And like they completely, like, leading up to this movie, everyone was like, oh, it's Zed. Clearly it wasn't, but
again, I was excited about it, too. I was all like, oh, sweet, Zed's going to be a Tokuger. Like, it's going to be so much fun. I'm going to have other things to be excited about. And then they were like, nope. I'm like, oh.
Nope, just Conductor.
Nope, just Chuck Tester on a realistic mount.
How Conductor terrifying is, like, Conductor Wagon?
Oh, God. It's terrible. Why would you put that person in charge? Just get actual big butt girl from Agito that was in Denno. I don't remember her name in either of them.
Naomi?
There we go. It's like saying now and me together.
Now me.
Yeah, that was pretty just disturbing.
She just walks around coffee. Like, alright. I guess. I mean, whatever you're doing.
I guess I don't know who else would have been Seven, but
big Conductor's guy.
Who?
A friend they forgot about.
Rabbit-headed guy.
Oh God!
I was thinking about that. It was just some friend they forgot they had.
Hey, who was the guy that was dressed up in Akira's clothes? Am I supposed to know him?
The actual guy was the singer of the Kyuriger theme.
Oh, okay. So I wouldn't know. But, like, I knew from the way they did it, it was like an Easter egg.
The character, because he sung the ending theme for... no, he didn't. He sung the opening for Tokuger. I got all mixed up. He's the one that sang the opening, I think. But, like, in show, I think he was just a dude.
Yeah. Like, I knew that he was probably, like, somebody like that. Like, it was an Easter egg that I didn't know. But I knew that they wouldn't just throw something like that in there and then put him in the credits, too.
Yeah.
So I figured he was important somehow. So I was always worried I was going to say, who is he? Be like, how could you forget Timothy from the one episode? I'm like, oh, my God. I'm glad it was just Timothy who sung the theme song and not Timmy who fell down the well or something. Tiny Tim.
How could you forget Tim, Bob's teddy bear?
Tiny Zach. You know.
Tim!
King
Bob.
I forgot where I was going with this. The, like, shadow versions of the main enemies. I like how they still had their personalities.
Yeah. They tried to do the roll
with
call.
With Nero trying to do the roll call again. It's still failing.
That was pretty funny.
Though Schwartz kind of joined in a little bit. That was really funny.
What else happened? I feel like there was a lot more to talk about in it than I'm thinking of.
There was no line changes.
No. They were too busy with little midget rangers. They honestly reminded me of the freaking demon team from the... Jamie! Turbo Man movie.
Jingle all the way.
Yeah, like, the way they, like, sort of just, like, assemble and fight, and, like, they basically slap fight people. They lost all their fighting skills when they turned back into kids.
But, that's what reminded me. Ninja!
I like how the adult versions were just stealing the Resha from their younger counterparts. Yeah. Like, they spent so much of the, like, middle part of the movie being like, give it back! And, like, after he transformed, he's like, let me just have this one, okay? I haven't transformed in a really long time.
I need a fix.
Great filler words. But I don't really have too much else specifically that I can think to mention other than I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good for, like, the message I thought was good. I thought it captured the spirit of the show. It hit on all the things that made the end of Tokyuger good.
Yeah, definitely.
Even little moments like when they were at the tree and he had the little scrapbook. Like, holy crap, what have those kids been through? Like, they went on this entire year-long adventure as adults, and, like, no one else knows about it. It's pretty crazy.
Meh.
They're like the Digi-Destined.
Yep.
So, backing up a bit, I looked up the guy. They have the same last name, hence my confusion. But it was just the voice actor for Tank Top Shadow. But he also voiced Speedor.
Speedor!
Weren't all the engine voice actors at the end of Gohanger too?
Yeah.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
He's voiced Speedor, Enma, and Magi Ranger, and that one guy with the crutch from Deca Ranger. The little panther lion guy with the crutch.
Voice Enma.
That's his name.
That's his new name.
Dr. Enema is the porn version of
Absolute
Dr.
God Enema.
I loved when they were in the Megazord and, like, the kids were fighting, and then all of a sudden, like, the adult out of suit guys are there and they're just bickering, so the Megazord just starts moving.
Yeah.
And Akira is just like, I don't know what's going on. Like, he must have been so confused.
I don't even know what's happening.
Because the kid Tokyugers are there, and all of a sudden, then he's seeing the ones that he's used to seeing there. He's like, the fuck is happening right now? And then Wagon's got to come in and sit next to him. Because he doesn't have a kid counterpart.
And then he was like, this is where I die.
This is only... Was this, like, the third like, official Returns movie, right? So we had this one...
Shinkenger
Returns, Ghost Savior Returns.
Like, the Ghost Savior one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, I never saw it. Okay, this...
Go Busters is technically Returns because it's in the title of the movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I was thinking, like, the last three ones felt like the more... I was sort of going for quality ones. I forgot that Gokaiger didn't do one, so it threw me off, and I never watched Ghostagers. But, like, Shinkenger's was much more of a silly affair.
Yeah.
I mean, GoBusters was funny, but you know what I mean.
This was a nice bookend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I really like the idea behind these Returns movies being sort of a neat post-show thing that could tie up some loose ends or just give you sort of a nice epilogue-ish thing, which Kyuger's had some really cool ideas that they just fucked up for me. I think it's funny that I prefer Tokyuger to Tokyuger. I mean, Kyuger to all these Oujers. I prefer...
So many Oujers.
Yes.
I prefer Tokyuger to Tokyuger. Oh, okay.
I preferred the taller ones. No, I preferred Kyuger to Tokyuger as a show, but I like this movie a lot better than Kyuger's Return movie. Mm-hmm. GoBusters still rules as king, though, because they managed to team up with themselves while simultaneously making fun of, like, all of Sentai. Was Ghostagers any good?
No.
Okay. So, like, I hope that they continue to do this, like, do something like that. Or like, GoBusters I thought was perfect because I really didn't need any much more, like, post-closure. So, like, it managed to be something still great but like with Kyrieger, it had the potential to do something afterwards, and like this one was a really good post closure. So I don't know if I want to see it in the Ninjas again, but we'll see how they leave things. But regardless, I think it would be a nice new Sentai tradition for that.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Now it's time for nothing. We're done.
Ramble, ramble, ramble time.
Apparently not. So, hard-hitting top news story, Pokemon, this week was about Pokemon. Shit, what was it about this week?
Okay, so, first of all, before we do that, I just want to say I watched last week's gym battle, and that was just retarded. I'm sorry, it was, like, yeah, he won, but it was more retarded than half the ones where he loses. That was just stupid. Fuck you, Swirlix, and your little puffball self. This week was, now that he won a badge, his little tag-along buddy wants to challenge him.
And he sweeped him.
Yeah, he sweeped him, and then, the kid lost his notebook.
His handy-dandy notebook.
And Team Rocket thought it belonged to Steven Stone, because they're stupid.
God damn it, Team Rocket.
Ash found out Sceptile can mega evolve, furthering the fact that he's probably never going to actually do it in the show.
He also found out what a Grovyle is.
Yeah. Treecko evolved in a Grovyle, and Ash was amazed at that feat.
I think it's funny.
Never seen it happen
before. He's got a Grovyle foot fetish.
I like how he's like, you met Steven Stone? I'm like, bitch, you met him too! What the fuck's wrong with you?
I think it's funny that I forgot I was going to say, when the main character's Pokemon evolve, mid-battle, it's always Triumphant and they win. And this kid had that moment, but he still got crushed.
Yeah. And he starts to do better, but then, nope, Frogadier fucked your shit up.
I wonder who's going to get the Torchic. I wonder if it'll be Ash, and then they'll have a mega battle at the finals, or maybe I was thinking it might be the blonde kid, because his dad has one. What's his name?
Clement?
Yes.
The blonde kid?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Wasn't even trying to come up with a name.
No, I could not.
Well, he probably would have just said Cyrus or something like that.
Silas Clay.
Totally screwed it up.
So yes, Pokemon. There's that we got a little live action footage of that little green sperm Pokemon that's happening. Whatever its name is, the alien sperm Pokemon.
It's totally Zygarde's boogers.
It's Zygarde's sperm form.
Zysperm.
Perfect.
Nailed it.
Okay, speaking of nailed it, Falling Skies. I think that's... Wait, did you have turtles? Is that a thing? Before Kevin falls asleep?
Turtles.
Back it up. Back away from the sleeping bear and let him speak before we put him to sleep and talk about military Jan.
So, turtles... Oh my god. Okay, so that reminds me... So, we had Savante Romero and Renette.
Sitting up,
who,
getting serious.
Number one are comic book characters from a long time ago when they originally were a comic book. And they were also in the 2003 series, which I realized that Brian didn't see, so he wouldn't know that they were there.
I knew they were in there, though.
I did.
I knew they were from that series. Wow.
That shitty. That shitty?
They were from that shitty.
I knew they were in that show as well. I'm not completely.
Yeah, they were originally in the comics a long time ago. But yes, I loved having Savante Romero and Renette. It was obvious that Mikey was going to fall in love with her. But it was still funny. And I thought this one was great, where you get to go back and you get to see, the split with Shredder and Splinter and Tang Shen and Shredder getting Miwa and making her cry. Especially considering how, the storyline with Karai has been going. Then you get to see where that started. And, just everything about us, I really loved it. I love seeing, Splinter just come in and just, he's the fan. He's being, a smart ass. And I'm like, yes. It's because you always think of Splinter as like just the serious master sensei dad figure.
Vader.
Like here he is, just like the young guy, kind of cocky on his abilities. Like, yeah, Shredder, I can whip your ass.
Cock.
Do this, right? Who doesn't love a good cock? But yeah, I really enjoyed this. I actually did figure that it was going to go longer. Like that little time. Not in this house.
This entire turtle episode is a penis metaphor. Nothing could defeat the penis.
Like I thought that the whole Turtles in Time thing was gonna last for a couple more episodes. But I was fine with it the way it is, just because it was really fun. Unfortunately, there were no my toe references in it at any point. Which if you read Kiefer's little review of last week's episode, the my toe thing is from the Turtles in Time video game, the Rat King stage in the sewers when you're on the foot ski, Rat King's on the foot ski, you're on sewers slider.
Sidetrack, Kiefer's idea for a Blue Beetle movie is totally, I forgot about him, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I was going to mention him. That later. Rat King will drop these bombs at you when you hit him. You jump up and down 1 foot yelling, my toe. Which that would have been...
My toe!
Yeah. But yes, Turtles in Time, all the references. Not sure what's happening in the next episodes, but I'm just glad to have more turtles.
Tweedles.
I like everything.
All right. Speaking of
Twiddles, I also had a thought and I forgot what it was because Dalton was over there being a fuck. But
I'm sorry, I can't turn it off. It's like I have. I don't have a humanity switch. I just have a stupidity switch that's permanently on. But speaking of humanity switches, Falling Skies. That doesn't work at all. But this episode was a lot better than the previous ones, even if it is, like we kind of talked about last week, sort of a greatest hits of finding another group storyline. Like, every time they find another group, in particular some sort of, like, militarized organization, they're always fucks. Like, if it's always the same, it's like, oh, here's a nice meal. Boom. Caged. Like, wasn't that exactly what happened in, what was that place there, Charleston, that they're heading towards for, like...
Yeah. Yeah.
That was exactly what happened there.
When they met John Locke from Lost.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, that was the same here. And, like, I watched an alarming amount of shows with, like, alien racism. Like, these people, I think, were from Real S.H.I.E.L.D. I think they were all, like, with Mac and all them, just super racist against aliens. Like, and them torturing Ben and pulling out his spikes. It was kind of awesome to see him kick the ass of all those dudes that tried to take him first. But it is kind of a repeat with that. Jan's still a total B.
Like no matter what she's in, she's just a total B.
If there was another season, she would have gotten replaced by Ryan for a little bit. And obviously there's something wrong with her in terms of, like, something's going on with her neck. I don't know whether that has anything to do with it. I feel like maybe she's somehow being controlled by that overlord.
Yeah, that seems like the good possibility, I think.
Yeah, I mean, even without that, though, like, the rest of the military people are still just a bunch of dicks that are, like, super suspicious of these people that, like, they're like the military, and they've been sitting there essentially listening to distress calls, writing them down, and not doing shit about it. And meanwhile, you have the history teacher and his ragtag bag of kids that have been, like, fucking shit up. Like... At least several times I'm surprised that he went to the moon. He got Hal here, like, shooting peewee babies out of a bazooka at people. And, like, you know, Ben using his skitter powers. And so, yeah, it was better. It's just, it really is kind of a rehash in a lot of ways. And all of a sudden, Captain Weaver has a past with her. Pope hasn't been around still. Still taking some Advil for that gunshot wound. Trying to think what else. Maggie eats food like a prison person with her hood over. That has nothing to do with anything, like plot or anything. Matt's on his way back to camp on the motorcycle, so he's going to save the day with his, you know, little Matt self. Ah! He's going to go back to Coach Cheese and the guy and just like, ah! And they've managed to move that, like, communication machine, so that's a thing. But yeah, there's only, what, 3 episodes left or 2? I think it's 3.
What episode was this, 7?
I don't know. That's why I was asking. Let me check.
I think this was 7, so there'd be 3.
Yeah, so we got 3 episodes left, and, like, that seems like not a lot to wrap things up.
That would be because it's not.
Like, especially with the pace they've been moving at. Like, this episode was still more eventful, but, yeah, 8, 9, 10, 3. I had to count it out because I'm an idiot. But, yeah, it started going somewhere, but I still can't see, like, the direction they're heading for the end game. Like, I'm really curious what the final episode and, like, the final scenes are going to be like. Are we going to do, like, a triumphant victory, but there's still work left to do? Or, like, excuse me, some sort of, like, triumphant final battle, and then maybe we get, like, an epilogue, flash forward of, like, what their lives are like. I'm not sure. So, I didn't expect it to. Falling Skies has always been sometimes all over the place in terms of where the plot goes, but it's never been this inconsistent. It's always been, for me, consistently entertaining. Like, even though every season, like, after 2, they started sort of changing direction in terms of where they were going in that particular year, I never felt this sort of, I don't know, weird slow pace and disjointedness.
Yeah, I can safely say that, like, there's small enjoyment there, but as a whole, I'm not really enjoying this season, like, at all.
Especially when, like, the beginning kicked off with Tom, like, super motivated, like, find your warrior, like, let's do this, like, go right after him, and then they go to a farm, and, like, they do all these detours, and then you have, like, all these, like, greatest hits of Falling Skies plot points, so I don't know. I definitely am curious to see how they think they're going to wrap this up in 3 episodes.
I have no idea. I think under normal circumstances, you would look at this and go, it's impossible to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Especially with it being a series finale. Like, it's done after this. You need to wrap everything up.
Yeah, there's lots of questions, though. Like, even just, I mean, there's the entire war itself, which is a pretty good undertaking, but, like, there's so many questions to be answered, especially about, like, the original Skitter race that is contacting Tom. Oh, Falling Skies. Maybe that's what the title was about. Just gonna fall at the end. So
Falling Skies has been retitled Falling Plot.
So we'll have to see how it shakes out.
Have you seen it? We haven't.
Do you know how to end this? Because we don't, really. Help us.
Help, please.
Sends in, like, a ransom note fashion with, like, the magazine cutouts and everything. Alright. I think that's about it for Falling Skies. Fantastic Four. You ready for that?
I am.
No? Okay, George, did you see it?
I didn't see it.
He's really far away, and he didn't see it.
I missed anything, but I didn't see it.
Wait, did not miss the movie or miss, like, a segment here? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant you just got back and you thought you
missed. No, no.
Okay. You're really far away, though. Okay, so Brian and I will just talk about it by ourselves while we're betrayed by everyone.
Well, I'll listen.
Okay, no, you won't. Live
and
tweet
react
it.
React to bullshit or act like Kevin when he didn't really watch anything.
You should just live tweet it like you're listening to the podcast.
Oh my god, that's perfect.
Okay, so I actually quite liked this movie. Apparently,
friendship, like, is over.
Friendship with the whole world is over, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, this is one of those things that I think got way over-exaggerated for hate. Like, to call it the worst superhero movie ever made is ridiculous. Do you remember Catwoman? I do.
Oh my god.
I remember that movie. And I think that's an insult to what they tried to do. And I think most of the complaints that I had to do with what is, like, the studio meddling. And they wanted the ending. The ending felt very rushed. And I think that was because they wanted it to have a much more superhero movie-esque conclusion. They had a slower pace, but I actually kind of liked that. I liked the pace it moved at, because it felt more like a science fiction movie than a superhero movie. which I liked that about it, actually, because I love superhero movies, obviously, but I like that it set itself apart with that, that it took its time, and there was this kind of like air of mystery to that other dimension they got their powers from. I liked the cast. There was definitely some things that could have been fleshed out more. That's why I wish that instead of maybe rushing that ending, we could have fleshed out some things more with the characters and
especially when the movie had a lot of room to be longer.
Yeah. And, like, they really could have spent more time on that, and I wish they would have been able to do the ending stuff the way they wanted. And there was definitely, in particular, some stuff to be fleshed out with the conflict with the other three and Reed, because, you know, they were all mad at him for leaving. Except for Johnny, he was totally cool.
He really was.
Yeah, he was like, whatever, man, bro, good to see you. What you been up to? Look at me, I can light on fire. so there was definitely room to be explored there, and just with them individually in general. But still, I did like the slower pace building up to it, and definitely could have been some more exploration in terms of Victor's motives.
I felt like his entire motives were just, oh, you took my woman.
Being in that place for a year, like, I think it doesn't make it that much of a stretch that he essentially went crazy. Mm-hmm. But that would have been much more interesting to explore a little bit. Like, essentially, he liked living there after being so twisted by it, and he didn't want them mining that world, and he just wanted to be alone there. So his solution is to blow up Earth, which seems to be everyone's solution, which led to a very generic conclusion. But it definitely could have been room for some interesting things. His design was not the greatest.
It really wasn't. I didn't like it at all.
I liked the idea of his, like, suit bonding with his body, which is kind of disturbing. But his face could have just been, they could have kept it like that, but then put, like, a regular mask over it, like Doctor Doom usually does because he's so disfigured. I want to know where he got the cloak.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I'm like, I don't think there was anything on that ship to where you could make a cloak, so I don't know what happened exactly.
Yeah, so that was kind of a weird part. I thought maybe, like, when they found him, he was going to have some sort of, like, I didn't know about the suit bonding to him before they found him, so I thought maybe, like, part of the suit was going to somehow be constructed into a hood, but all of a sudden he just has this, like, glorious traveler's cloth. I'm like, where the hell did you get that? Is there a gap there we don't know about? Hot Topic, maybe?
Hot Topic seems fitting.
Exactly. It kind of does for that place. One thing I thought was a really nice touch was when they got their powers, I liked that I didn't see anything that particularly set apart Reed and Sue's, but that there was little touches for, like, Ben's and Johnny's that were the reason behind their particular powers. Mm-hmm. The fact that, like, flames got into the ship and he caught on fire when the waves hit him, and that rocks were hitting Ben. I liked that was a neat way of instead of just, oh, the same wave hit you all, but you randomly got different powers. So I thought that was kind of a nice little touch to it. I feel like I should let you talk for a minute, because I'm just like,
no, you're fine.
Right, well, I
like, at least that was, like, the only thing that kind of got me is I liked that, but like you said with Reed and Sue, like, there was nothing really there to pinpoint anything. Like, all of a sudden, yeah, just Reed can stretch and Sue can be invisible, like, that was. Yeah.
So it would have been nice to have something that sort of signified that. I'm not sure what it would have been for them, but it was a nice idea.
Mm-hmm. How was Doom seen in the base? Like,
what do you mean? How was it?
That was graphic.
It kind of was, like, and he blew up that dude's head and shit.
Exactly. Like, and
his powers are, like, all over the place broken. Like, way overpowered.
Well, I was, like, just trying to figure out, like, why can he, like, explode them guys' heads, but, like, he couldn't explode Reed's head?
Because they're protected by fantastical powers. I don't know.
Okay.
But like, he was, like, way broken. I would have liked to have seen them, like, have a little bit more dialogue that led to that, instead of just being like, oh, hello, my name is fuck you, kills everyone. One other thing I'll say, a small, like, little negative against it, is the CGI in a lot of the places was pretty weak. Like, in the final battle in particular, like, the Flash has way better effects than some of the things. Like, I was kind of surprised by some of the pieces with that. But that really wasn't like a huge deal really till the end, because that was really the only like major fight sequence. I thought like Ben's was well done. Like, I didn't think it looked fake or anything.
Yeah, I liked Ben's design here. It worked really good, I think.
Yeah, and it just kind of like fit in with the way the rocks looked. And speaking of Ben, I think that I'm not sure why they took him out of like, you know, the equation until they went to the dimension. Like, you know, he helped read on this device when they were little, and then all of a sudden he gets the scholarship or whatever, and he leaves him at home, and then they decide to drunkenly go to the other dimension. And he calls him up. He's like, "Yo, Ben! How you been? Just doing me?" But, like, it could have been as simple as, you know, him saying, "I won't come help you unless Ben's my assistant," or something, and that would have been perfect.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, I thought he got the scholarship, too. That was a weird choice. In particular, because one of the other complaints I see against it is that, like, they didn't have that family dynamic that apparently the Fantastic Four is known for, which they weren't exactly all, you know, lovey-dovey or anything. But when they were working on the device and stuff, I did sense a little bit, like, camaraderie between them.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, Ben wasn't there for that, which is why I think if he would have just been there, it would have been perfect. Because, like, all five of them had, like, this sort of friendship and bond going over what they were doing. So that was definitely weird to keep him out of it and sort of kept them from, you know, more believable with bonding at the end. That was kind of odd. And it's funny because I kept wondering how Sue was going to get her powers, because the four of them went without her. And I'm like, okay, so
I was maybe with my aunt, and she's sitting there like, she saw both of the other Fantastic Four movies, so she's familiar enough with the generic story. And she's sitting here like going like, "So Sue's not going?"
Yeah, it's like, I was like, okay, maybe there's like a solo pod we don't know about and she's going in after him. Or maybe like they go back for Victor and that's when they get their powers. But she just got like blasted when they came back.
Yeah.
So that was a bit different than usual. Which I didn't really mind that much. I just, like, the whole time I'm like, all right, she's got to get her powers somehow. I don't know how that's going to happen. Let's see what else, but I generally liked the setup. Like, I would have loved to have seen how he originally wanted to tell it and how it would have flowed. Like, I liked the build up to them going there and then after them going there, and I liked the, I didn't expect them to do like a year flash forward and showing like how they were all being used by this organization and mm-hmm. Reed was on the run. And it was obvious that while he was there, he was trying to figure out a way to help Ben, so he didn't, like, completely abandon him. So I feel like that could have been clarified to them better.
One thing that kind of got me is, like, you were talking about how quick the end move, like, how quickly they went from being really pissed at Reed to just not really caring about Reed.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're mad at you. You're a dick. And then all of a sudden it's like, we're bros.
Let's work together. Let's sit together. Yeah. No, it's not. I hate that song. But yeah, that's exactly like what the problem was, is that I feel like there was probably bits and parts of like the beginning of the movie that were changed too. But I definitely feel like the last part took the biggest hit
mm-hmm.
For that, because there was all kinds of stuff. Like you said, there was room for it to be longer too and to flesh out. Oh, speaking of flesh. Oh, dear God. Are you seeing this? Brian, you have to stop and see this. Oh my God. That's too good. Should be like one of the chapter photos. So, what was I talking about? Fleshlight Guy Fieri. So, Fleshlight Guy Fieri just shows up at the end of the movie. And just starts eating it out right there. No, but yeah, that's definitely a part. They could have gone a little bit longer and not been rushed with the conclusion, because there was definitely some hurt feelings there that really wouldn't be completely resolved that quickly, for sure, especially between Ben and Reed, who were such good friends. And the resolution to everything was just super quick, and like the quick battle, and I'm not entirely sure like what kind of conclusion they would have had originally, but it's just kind of disappointing. Like, I've never ever heard of like a news story from any side that said studio meddles with movie turns out great. Like, has there ever been a case where the studio meddled and it helped?
No.
because I can't think of one. I don't know what the problem is with that, because they had some really neat ideas here. I don't think they got enough credit for that. Like I said, calling it the worst, it's kind of like when people said Legendary Battle was the worst thing they'd ever seen. That's like a way overstatement.
Mm-hmm.
I can name like 24 or more Mighty Morphin episodes that are worse than almost any episode of Megaforce or Super Megaforce. So it's like that way overhyped the badness of it. Like, I've definitely seen worse superhero movies, and I really liked the intent they had here. They went for a little bit more, like, a more grounded direction in terms of it wasn't overly campy or anything. I liked the direction they took with the characters and the approach, and they had some really unique ideas that was really a twist on it, which was what made me kind of look forward to the movie in the first place. And I think it's kind of unfortunate that they're getting so hated on, and then now it's like the thing where it becomes the popular opinion, so now it's the cool to hate on type thing and make jokes of it, so it makes it do even worse.
Mm-hmm.
That's
kind of the thing, is like it was a situation where the hype was so negative that I liked it a lot more than I think most people did, just because I was expecting such shit.
Yeah.
And like you said, what we ended up getting was a very flawed movie that did a lot of things that I think would have been really cool if it was realized the way it was supposed to be realized. And so I can't really fault it for that. I mean, when you have this a studio that meddles and doesn't let the director do what he wants, even though apparently the director was a dick or something, I don't know. But
all kinds of messy stuff.
Like, it's just a situation where there's just a lot of things that go against it. But like you said, to say it's the worst ever is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Probably the worst recently, but definitely not the worst ever.
Yeah, that's like a way, way overstatement. Like, it was like way extreme overhype, because I liked it because I liked the ideas it presented before I saw it, and when I saw it, I thought there was quite a bit to enjoy.
I think the base ideas were really good, and I think if it was longer and had more time to flesh certain things out. I mean, it's not particularly like there wasn't enough time on the origin thing, because there was a lot of time on the origin, but I didn't mind that actually.
Cause they kind of handled it differently. Like I said, it felt more like a science movie instead of spending an hour and a half on Peter getting bitten or something.
And I mean, I dig that. I don't go to superhero movies all the time to just witness a superhero movie. Like, I don't particularly want to go there and see quick origin. Oh, fight. For all the time. I don't want every movie to be Avengers, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, like, when things like Ant-Man happen, and things like even Guardians of the Galaxy, and then this, like, I'm perfectly fine with something that's a little less action-orientated. And, I mean, obviously the studio wasn't, but I was fine with it, with the pace that it was going. Like I said, if it was longer to bridge that second arc and third arc together, I think it would have flowed a little bit more. But
because honestly, for me, right up until the point where they found Reed and he showed up at the base, it was a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have very many problems with it at all up until that point. And then as soon as he got there was where it went off the rails. But up until then, it was pretty damn good for me. I mean, there was a few little flaws here and there, but it's like, what superhero movie doesn't have characters that are underdeveloped?
Yeah.
And, like, they're not going to have time to completely get you to understand all of them. And if they were to do more, then they would have time for that. So there's little nitpicks here and there, but I really liked it up until – I mean, it's not like I absolutely was like, fuck this movie in the fourth half. But, like, right up until they found Reed, I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that was that last half that I found it where that happened. And we'll never know exactly what all the stuff happened behind the scenes, but I'm willing to bet that it was a huge part on Fox's deal with wanting the more action-oriented stuff. And it's just, at least, like, they're not as bad as Sony. It's like, Sony already fucked up with Spider-Man 3 by meddling, and then they did it again with Amazing Spider-Man 2. It's like, Jesus, you just did this. You killed two trilogies in a row. The double homicide. So, yeah, it's just, like I said, maybe it would be interesting if somebody would present me, like, here's a case where studio metal that it helped, because I've never heard of, like, them making the movie better. And I've heard a couple of conflicting things. I heard one report that said they're not sure about the sequel because they already scheduled one and they were going to push Deadpool 2 out faster. And then I heard another thing that says they're still committed to it. I kind of hope they are still committed to it. I'd like to see them try to do a second one.
I would love to see a sequel. I'll flat out say it. I would love to see a sequel. They established the characters. I think if they get maybe a different director on board that apparently is an asshole or whatever, I don't care. That has a proper vision, and the studio will actually let him fulfill that vision, him or her, I guess. Then I'm all for it. I liked this take on Fantastic Four. I liked this take a lot, to be honest.
Yeah, and I liked the cast too.
Yeah, so. Sue was wishy-washy for me. I don't know why. Something was off. I can't even tell you what it was.
I think she was a little kind of like cold bitchy. Like, she wasn't like outright bitchy. She just kind of very, like, cold.
A really standard resting bitch face.
Yeah, she was like, and she was just kind of real cold. She didn't have necessarily anything too distinguishing about her. She was pretty to look at, though.
Yeah.
So,
I love Johnny here, though. Like,
yeah. There's so many people that are like, it's not because he's black that I don't like they cast him. It's because they did it to make a statement. I'm like, I don't think they did it to make a statement. I think they just wanted to cast somebody that was good for the part. I don't know why people blew up over that so much when we have a black Nick Fury for years now.
Yeah.
I think it shouldn't matter what race it is, so long as they do a good job on the character. It doesn't really matter.
And I like how they didn't really make a big deal out of it. They're just like, so you adopted? Yeah. And that was it.
Yeah, like, it's not a huge deal. Like, I don't know why people blew up over that. And I agree that she was probably one of the weaker elements in certain aspects, but in general, I thought it was a good looking group, and it have potential to do better in further movies. Like, I would like to see a sequel as well. I think, like you said, they established it. I think if they can really sort of sit down and figure out how to make a good plan for it, and like you said, and I hope that they, even if they change direction a little bit from what was originally intended, to, you know, all work together. I don't want them to change it too much. Like, I hope 2 doesn't come out and it's just like a standard, you know, paint-by-the-numbers superhero movie. But I think that I'd love to see them at least try. Kind of like, this is going to be a terrible example for a lot of people, but Green Lantern, I think they could have gone for a sequel and tried to make it better. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that movie was as much of a train wreck as people thought. It certainly wasn't the best thing ever. But they laid it out there, and I think that if they really tried, they probably could have made a decent sequel. So, like, I'm tired of seeing them making these movies and then giving up so quickly.
Yeah.
So I would like to see them not pull a Green Lantern. I mean, obviously now they're kind of pulling things around and making this DC universe I'm looking forward to, but I still think that they could have turned it around with that. But I guess then we wouldn't have Deadpool. So, yeah, so I definitely hope that that they try to continue with it. And I hope that there are some other people that appreciate it, because it's definitely flawed because of the end, but Jesus, people are really, this is like the hardest I've seen people been on a movie in a long time.
Yeah,
like, it's kind of ridiculous.
It's really bad. It's almost really bad to the point where it's obnoxious.
Yeah, it really is. And it didn't help that even before, like, the early reviews came out, like, it was already one of those, like, bandwagon hate movies before.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was
just,
like,
because everyone wants it back in Marvel's hands.
Exactly. And so, like,
it's like you release a movie where people are already wishing it death because they want it to go back to Marvel. And I don't think it will go back to Marvel. This can do crap. And Fox will still probably hold on to it. So,
like, that was the, every time a new trailer or something came out, or if I saw anything about it and I happened to go to the comment section because I'm a masochist, it would always be, like, half the comments were, this isn't the comics exactly. That's what all comments on trailers for comic book movies is. This isn't the comics. It sucks. Why they make Johnny black? And then the other half was, give it back to Marvel. Fuck you. Like, it was all that shit. And so it's like, even before this past couple weeks where the early reviews came out and then people saw it and there was all this hate, there was already, like, pre-hate, like, pre-ordered hate. So it's like, this movie, it was like facing an uphill battle since the beginning. And it lost it, unfortunately. Like, I was really hoping that it was going to be, like, fantastic and really, like, surprise people, but it Oh, man. We're, like, destined to like things everyone hates and hate things that people like.
That's my life in a nutshell, like, right there.
Like, we like the Fantastic Four movie and hate Jetman. We're, like, a really small population. Okay. I think that's about it. Now, is it time for... What? Straw time.
Tweet, tweet, motherfucker.
I don't have anything. I don't have a quick quip or anything. Wait. There, I already used it.
Alright, so for my question, I picked one from Christopher Wong at W the Unknown. He says, how much slack should we give writers since toy schedules affect early plots? Chase's plot stalled for toy release. It's really hard to say. Drive is an instance, we've said this multiple times, Drive is an instance where I feel the toy schedule completely dicked around with what they wanted to do. We got Chase, who had to reset his story like 12 times until he was finally ready to be good because of the toys. And then Mach just sort of appearing, never mentioned, never anything. He just happened because it was second writer's toy time. And apparently it wasn't going to go to Chase for whatever reason. I don't know exactly. So I feel like Drive is a big instance of basically what the writers wanted to do and what Bandai wanted to do completely conflicted.
I think Beast 2, because there was like that rumor that they didn't want a second writer, the writers didn't.
Uh-huh.
And just his general treatment, which is unfortunate because I like Beast, both his setup character and the guy himself.
Yeah. That was a thing as far as I remember. That wasn't an actual thing in an interview or something. But so there's that. I mean, as for how much slack, like I said, it's hard to say. Sometimes it becomes really, really bad, like the beginning of Drive. Sometimes a writer can sort of take the whole toy schedule and roll with it, like Gaim.
I thought Gaim handled things pretty gracefully.
I thought they really did a monster voice. This is really hard to talk in.
Oh god, that was funny. I started laughing and I was laughing in that voice. It was like... Oh my god. That burp was amazing. Okay.
Oh boy.
So, what was I talking about before I got strapped? Gaim handled it pretty gracefully. I didn't think there was too many problems with Double either that I can recall or anything felt forced. Like, it's hard to say about slack because I don't know the situation. Like, if the Drive writers were given, like, months in advance and they're just a bunch of lazy fucks and then they're like, oh shit, then there's no slack. Yeah. But I don't know how much they're communicating. Like, I think that it's on everybody involved, on the writers, the producers, the toy company, to all sit together and say, look, this is where the toys we want to do, even if they don't have, maybe they didn't even design this driver yet or have it finalized, to say, here is going to be a driver here. And they need to communicate when they want things to come out and then write around that. And I don't think they're doing that very well in some cases. I think in the case of Chase, I already mentioned numerous times my idea about flopping Mach and Chase's debuts, but another solution could have been to just not bring Chase in right away. Mm-hmm. And possibly save him until it was closer to it, so we didn't have to reset his debut, so then you only had like one Chase cycle. But of course they wanted to sell Machine Chaser stuff, so that kind of interfered with it as well. You know, like his gun, the Great Gunner and stuff. So, but there's all kinds of ways that I think they just need to work together to, you know, finalize a plan because.
Brilliant.
Okay. My question I pick is from Andrew Booth 16, and he asks, if you had a loxy based off of your favorite food, what would it be, and what would the transformation jingle be? And easy for me, it's pizza. And I've thought about this for like 10 minutes.
Long time. And
the jingle would be the pizza song from the Spider-Man 2 game soundtrack. Right before you save the girl with the balloon.
Oh god, my balloon!
Whoa! I stole that guy's pizza!
Mine would most certainly be cheese. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, god, y'all make me think and shit.
I can't even think of one, so.
Kevin's
would be chicken. And it would just be the chicken dance.
The jingle. I want that log seat.
That would be great. It would definitely be fried chicken. That would be Kevin's Lockseed.
It's a Los Pollos Hermanos Lockseed.
I can't think of a jingle. Like, I got nothing. I'll try to think of something and maybe debut it next week.
Debut it? Like, Brian's going to fully compose, like, hire people. Like, it's going to be great.
Like, I'll try to think of something, because I once again forgot about this question. I automatically had cheese picked out, but I was going to think about a jingle over the week, and I forgot. So, I'll try for next week, but we'll see. But definitely cheese, so you don't have to worry about that. Is there, like, any lock seeds that could actually be cheese? Probably not. You could do orange, I guess, and make it a cheese wheel.
Yeah.
That would actually work. It's the Mouse Hunt lock seed.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'll have to think about mine, too. I can't think of it on any fronts. I don't think I have a favorite food, so that's not really working.
Like, mine would have to have been either cheese, steak, or popcorn. Those are my trifecta. And cheese seems to be, like, the running thing with me, so...
Literally, sometimes with me.
So, this is, the delayed question. Well, we have half our answer. Stay tuned next week until we don't answer it because we forgot. Didn't do that a long time ago with a couple questions.
That will probably happen.
Okay, the question I chose, I think, was from the Kieran Foster. I forgot because I logged out and I'm not going back in. But if you're not, it's not your name, you'll know the question that I'm talking about, though. Is essentially, what is your favorite Power Rangers or Super Sentai mech suit or toy? I was unclear on whether he meant, like, do we have separate ones that are like our favorite that happens in suit or in toy because they sometimes look differently, or like all together. But I suppose you can answer for both. I also didn't think about this one, so everyone stall. Somebody do a dance number. That doesn't even work. You can't even see us.
I mean, one of my favorite mecha designs is Decawing Robo. Always love that thing to death. I just love it.
Symbionic Titan. It doesn't work. I'm sorry.
And that's both toy and suit. I think the suit works really well. The toy is really fun. It can turn to a gun, so fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And another one that just works. The suit probably more so than the toy, but the toy is still really wicked awesome too, is the Titan Megazord.
Yes.
Magic King. Just, I love it.
Damn. Really trying to think. Hold on. I'm running through the seasons mentally right now.
Yeah, me too.
Please hold for mentor.
Well, we're on Mystic Force. I love the Phoenix Unizord, like the suit in the show. That's beautiful.
All the Centaurus ones are pretty cool.
I love all of Phoenix. Mystic Force.
They had seriously, Disney had badass names for those swords.
Yes, they did. Oh.
Now it's just insert generic name Megazord here. Change your ways. I don't know if it's one of my absolute favorites, but I mean, not like absolute favorite, but it is one of my favorites. But I always like the Astro Megazord.
Yeah.
Just because it's got this real nice simplicity to it, and it's like a rare one that's like a one piece. It's like a one piece swimsuit of Megazords. So, like, I always just really liked it. And the toy honestly holds up pretty well. It's not like the most spectacular, but it's really like fun and easy to transform, and it still looks good. So, that's definitely one of mine. I've also, I don't entirely sure exactly what it is about it, but I've always been partial to the Thunderstorm Megazord too. Not sure what it is about it, but it just does it for me.
I love
gets my disc locked and dropped.
I love the Isis Megazord.
Oh yeah, that's a really cool one.
I love that one.
Name got tarnished. I'll tell you how many jokes are on my review. Like, Dawson's a terrorist, lol. It's a cool sounding name too, which is unfortunate.
I know, and it's one of my favorite Egyptian deities.
Well, you have more than one.
But I love
mine's Yugi. Or Yami, I guess it was. Atem, damn it. Can't even get my Yu-Gi-Oh right. Now I'm looking at my toy shelf. That's actually really handy.
Yeah, me too. I'm...
tool to have. It's really dark in here, though. I like this blob over here with spikes.
I just love all the RPM stuff.
Oh, God, that's really glaring in my eye. I can't see anything now.
The Wild Force stuff just does it for me all around, though. I love the Kongazord, like, suit in the show. Especially because it can turn its fists and do the bear hands, and right?
So I can't. Kongazord.
Zord.
Now I'm just thinking of Rock Lobster.
I want a Kongazord that's repainted to look like Donkey Kong.
I want a Kongazord that plays the Donkey Konga theme and Rock Lobster. Now I really want to play Donkey Konga. It's like the original Guitar Hero.
I can go do that.
I have it too.
Rock Lobster.
I would always play that one in the Pokemon theme. Who doesn't want to jam out with a Pokemon theme with some bongos? I mean, that's only for the hardest of the hardcore.
Did you just say mongos?
Bongos.
I want to jam out to the Pokemon thing with
some
Mongolians.
I want the bongo energy lock seed. And then the Pongo energy lock seed turns into a Dalmatian. I think that's about as good as it's going to get. I mean, it's hard to say because there's so many good Megazords over the years. And
And then there's some real butt-fucking ugly ones, too.
Yeah.
I hate the Time Force Megazord mode red for some reason. It always, like, is off-putting to me. I don't know what it was. I hated it when I was a kid, and I hate it now.
I actually like mode red more than mode blue. I always thought mode blue was, like, the Delta Megazord's weird brother. Like, they just didn't even hate it. I think that's pretty much it. Be sure to send in more questions. We're running out. Time is running out. Tweet, motherfucker GT.
Don't feed the children.
Don't feed the children.
But Twitter.
With, like usual, the hashtag TTMF at the RR podcast. You can follow the beacon of George's tweets. It's all there. So, yeah, make sure to send in your questions. And we will keep reading them if we find them. Otherwise, we're going to make up our own questions. Like, who are the most ungrateful fans that don't even send in questions? You guys! Boom. Twitter jammed.
If we put a One Direction hashtag in it, we'd get a million questions.
Put in TTMF hashtag One Direction.
Hashtag Zayn's new haircut.
We could spell it like Power Rangers Zayn.
We'll just start pulling questions from our AskFM.
Just think, it'll be insane. Alright, so now it's time for
Final Thingy, MP3.
Final Thingies!
I have a thingy, and it's not final!
All the stuff we just said already. Like the worst. We're like doing the end credit scene before the movie's over.
Something about threats and AskFM.
Wait, who threatened AskFM?
You threatened everyone.
When?
Sending questions.
I didn't threaten. Well, wait. I don't remember. It's been too long. Do we have an AskFM?
No. Like, we all do.
Well, yeah. George, give me some credit.
George gets called names all the time.
George, why don't you just give us your AskFM questions?
It's my favorite thing ever. I love when people call me stupid names. I feed off it.
He's like an Absorbeloff, but with insults. Insults. Like, I got into an accent, and I just... It happened. So, God, that guy was gross. That was a good episode.
I dropped my phone.
Okay, ready for this shit?
I'm ready to suck some butt.
Let me get the music.
Who is sucking some butt?
Oh, God.
Dear Lord. I'm not even that fucking gay.
Oh, damn it. Stop turning off. Okay. I got the music cued. Hopefully it works. Oh, I have to, like, do it on the right time and Kevin doesn't mess it up. It's like playing a video game.
What music has he got cued?
It's just for after the title. You'll see after the title is revealed what the music is. It's an old favorite.
Hello, welcome to RS
Big
Season...
Huge Penis.
Yep. Hello, welcome to our season...
Massive cock ring.
Hello, welcome to our...
He said it like Emperor Palpatine, which made it funnier.
Every single Jedi must wear a cock ring under the Republic. It was I who completed the generation. Fuck it.
I couldn't even get through it. I completed the generation. classic Palpatine. You know he was into some kinky shit.
Palpatine sounds like Dr. Animo, and I'm dying.
He kind of looks like Dr. Animo, if you think about it. He kind of looks like an evil toad.
Can't do it. Hello, welcome to our season 6
episode. Fleshlight versus cock light. Fuck. Shake weight. That's what I was going to say.
Shake cock light? That's what they call shake weight. Oh my god, light lights are ruined forever.
Shake weight.
Oh my god, that would be amazing, actually. That would make an amazing YouTube video, like a lightsaber style fight with a shake weight and a flashlight. Who would win?
Oh my god.
I think I found my Ben 10 replacement video series.
Hello, welcome to our season. Oh no.
I have the music here, Jesus. It's not even going to play, watch.
See.
Hello, welcome to our little fuck.
Welcome to our show.
Hello, and welcome to our show.
Vampires, vixens, and vaginas. It's changing this week.
Triple V.
Hello, welcome to our season 6, episode 7. Nope.
God damn it. His finger was on the button. You know, never worked for NASA.
Finger on the trigger?
Fuck my head.
What'd you call me?
Don't tempt me, Brian. I just might.